the Notcast, episode 288, Special Doggos!
Woo!
Yay, I'm a special doggo!
Yes, you are. I'm, what it was, a regular doggo? Or
regular doggo.
I'm a regular doggo.
I'm a special doggo.
Yes.
Oh, internet.
For those that don't know Tube what we're guy. Talking about, Floss it's snake. On the internet.
Yeah, it's like how to identify animals or whatever.
Yeah, I love that it's misspelled the same way every time.
There's over 20 kinds of animals in the world.
Over 20.
That's more than that's as much as two tens.
And that's awful.
So I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And Shiva has important siesta duties to attend to, so she is not here today.
More important than us.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Probably. A bit more money in play on that one.
Yeah. Kind of look forward to Furry Siesta. It'll be...
Yeah, I hope it goes well.
I'm sorry you're not going to be here for it. That sucks.
It was just one of those things where, like, this opportunity presented itself, and I can't miss it.
Yeah.
New market penetration.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully maybe there's some furries and bronies in the San Antonio area that might even be at the con that could, you know, you could stop and say hi or have somebody to, aren't you going with a couple of your Nightmare Night cohorts?
I got a couple of my dudes, and we've got a table, so we'll be in the con alley or whatever they've got and be able to see some of the con outside of that, which is cool. I mean, I've not been to this con before.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 2/3 the size of,
Akon?
Actually, it's half the size of Akon.
Mm-hmm. It was about 14, 15,000 then?
That was what they had last year. And it's a market that I've not really been able to hit. And obviously, I'll have get some Fiesta flyers as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have double representation, yo.
Woohoo!
Because.
Double penetration.
And actually, I need to get some Akon flyers as well. We're just going to have all sorts of shit on my table.
Right, yeah.
Like, I am beholden to these multiple entities. They all own a fragment of my soul.
Well, let's get you some Notcast flyers.
Yeah, might as well.
Actually, you want to take some Bad Dog Books flyers?
I can probably take some and distribute them around. Who knows? man, it's been an interesting week. I've had a very productive week, though.
That's good.
I today cranked out 28,000 words start to finish. So, like, I was super efficient today.
You should say audio and not writing, because at home some writers are having a heart attack. Like, 28,000 words in a day? What the fuck am I doing with my life?
Of audio.
Right.
Which is about 130 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you also have to do the editing and mastering and whatever.
Yeah.
So, that was most of my day, but I got a whole brand new story for you done today.
Yep.
Got the first chapter of the For Planet audiobook I'm working on.
Mm-hmm. We can go ahead and say.
I'm working on The Hero by Tieran.
Yep. My mate's book. Yay.
Yeah, he wrote it like 7 years ago.
Yeah, something like, actually,
it's,
yeah.
It's pretty old.
It's like, came out in 07.
Wow. And also did a couple of my side project pony ones.
Cool.
I'm working on another like audiobook level audiobook. So, this one's only 40.
One of the fanfics.
Yeah, it's fanfic. Okay. It's a fanfic called For Candy, which is a comedy one.
And you also calculated how long it would take you to do Fallout Equestria.
Oh my god, yes. So this is using the voiceover time calculator at the voice.com or whatever. It's for voiceover work and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they like, how many hours a day can you work? 8. Okay, how many words a minute do you read? Just kind of take the default. So Fallout Equestria is 620,000 words.
Yeah.
And according to it, it would take 32 days of 8-hour day recording and editing and mastering to do. And the audiobook itself would be around 51 hours long.
Yeah. It would be like a George R. R. Martin novel.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is like, I'm looking at the site, and it's like, some voiceover artists charge around $200 per hour of completed audio. And I'm like, well, if they did pay me $10,200, I would probably read that fanfic.
Yeah. I mean, 10 grand for what's effectively a month of work is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I've heard anywhere between 100, 150. That was the first time I'd heard 200.
Well, it would, this was, again, on that website, 200, and then, like, if you're really well-known, it's, like, 500.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'm massively undercharging, apparently.
I wonder what 500 an hour would be for, like, well, like, a 7.5 hour.
It would probably be, like, a celebrity, like, you're getting...
Paul McGann.
Well, yeah, or getting, like, you know, Patrick Stewart.
Oh, yes.
You know, or some, like, famous actual actor who will lend massive gravitas to your audio
Bad production. Bad Dog Books presents Trevor's Tricks, read for you by Patrick Stewart.
Oh, God. But, yeah, the
he could really, like,
he make, could really make class my furry
porn
up.
Sound like Shakespearean.
Yes.
It'd be awesome, yes.
Oh, you shove your puppy maker in my bum.
Oh, God. I have never written that. Disregard that, Fox. Puppy maker. It's especially useful for those gay stories.
Yes. His baby batter.
Oh, yeah. Where did we see that again?
It was some fan.
I think I also saw puppy batter. just batter used to describe semen is just very I haven't done a whole lot out of the ordinary this week. I mean, I've been doing my day job thing. Our air conditioner needed some work on it. It was actually just general maintenance stuff. Needed to not the inside part with the filters, but outside. They needed cleaned, like clean the coils and crap.
Yeah.
Because I guess that needs done like once a year because they get leaves and nuts and just cruft from the air. Pollen probably, you know, builds up in there. So like one day, so Wednesday, because they didn't want to come over and have the air conditioner be frozen up, which is what happens sometimes if it's on and it's not going anywhere. So they were like, we need you to turn the air conditioner off on Wednesday morning, and then we'll be there at some point. So Tieran and I both worked from home Wednesday as the house slowly got warmer. So it started at like 72 degrees, and it was like 85 by the time the guys were done with everything, and we could turn the air conditioner back on. So, like, I'm sitting there and I get the fan on in the production room and everything like that. And luckily our house has like 5 of the rooms have ceiling fans in them. So we were able to at least keep the air moving around somewhat. But so that was like, yeah, our big thing. Cause that was actually like $500-$600 to have all that done. Just expenses you have. I've been getting a whole lot out of my day job lately. You know, I'm just kind of not motivated lately.
Yeah.
And just, Plus, I think part of it is that I've got a lot of Fur Planet work to do.
Yeah.
Like, you know. You
mean, like, I'd rather do that.
Yeah. Because we're going to start shipping orders out. Rocky Mountain Fur Con is in, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And Tieran and I think Tieran, Buck, and Zia are going to that one. So we got to do, like, our big stock order to restock for that con and pretty stuff quick. Like that. Yeah. So, I mean,
that's
know,
not a massive con, but still, you got to have your books.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially the new shit. We got to have plenty of the new stuff. Because you consider, I mean, that con's out west.
It's the first con after Anthrocon, and that's when you have all your big releases.
And if there was some locals in that area didn't go to Anthrocon, which, I mean, not absolutely everybody goes to Anthrocon, so... We have a lot of new books.
I didn't.
So they might do well out there.
Yeah. I'm not going to Rocky Mountain either.
And I was going to say, you know, I also might see about having some books at Siesta, which you also won't be at.
No.
Damn it.
I've but you can, like, I've come seen your new stuff, dude.
Yeah, you can come over any Tuesday and buy a book if you want.
Yeah, I've seen all your new art books and whatnot.
You're like, hi, and I had a quick wank in your bathroom, and now I don't need to buy them.
Yeah. Thanks, Kenneth. So,
speaking of which, you know, when you were back a few weeks before the con, when you were talking about what was hot and stuff like that, Buck and Moving Day sold out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
The lesbians in the shower.
Yep.
People snapped that up, definitely.
Yeah, they snatched that up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So we were having a discussion at dinner that apparently they're trying to resurrect SWAT cats.
Yeah.
So far, there's 276 people that have backed $23,573 of $50,000 goal with 29 days to go.
So they're almost at the halfway point on the first day.
Yeah, and they've got a pitch video with like modern, cleaner designs.
So what's the $50,000 allow them to do? $50,000,
their goal. Let me see. $50,000 covers a new TV series, Bible, three scripts, and character design and concept art. They're trying to pitch it to Cartoon Network, I guess.
Does it say, or does it just...
No, it just says they're going to... the new TV series, Bible, with some scripts, character design, and concept art.
Yeah.
We own the TV rights to produce new episodes of SWAT Cats, along with theatrical film rights. We can do whatever we desire to do, and with your support, we can go a long way and produce exciting new entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
At $100,000, they have a 2-minute animated teaser to establish the look of the new series.
Because animation, 2D animation's fuck expensive.
Yeah, a 22-minute episode is at $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
At $1,000,000, they get a 5-part miniseries. And at $1.5 million plus, they're saying we'll do a direct-to-streaming 70-minute movie.
Hmm.
Which is kind of cool. They have digital wallpapers at like the $10 level. There's not a lot to get out of it. Like, you can get postcards, and there's a SWAT Cats t-shirt for $50, limited edition signed prints, and other stuff like that. It's interesting to see these guys. All right, look, this shit, you know, they're not going to fund us. Will you fund us? Check it out, yo.
Yeah.
And it's been pretty successful for some things. Mm-hmm. Then there's stuff where you're like, I'm not so sure. But that actually brought up a bunch of, we had this discussion where we're like, what are a bunch of other, like, animated animal people cartoons.
Yeah, we went back to our memories, our vague, foggy memories of the 90s.
Our proto-furry days.
Yeah, back when we were like total fur fags but didn't know it.
Yep.
Because furry did exist at that time, but I wasn't on the internet. I had no idea.
And I had the internet, but I didn't quite know what I was looking for.
Yeah. You were just typing in dog people fucking, but you didn't know it was called furry.
Yeah.
You just thought it was like the Red Rocket fandom or something like that.
And like, you know, being real confused, seeing two unicorns fucking and realizing, wait a minute, one of those is a dude. That's still hot. good old Chris Sawyer.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, it's interesting to see, because SWAT Cats came out in a really densely populated with furry stuff time.
Yeah.
Because, like, there was all this stuff. Like, you mentioned, Dog Detective?
Dog City.
Dog City. Was called, you know? I never, ever had heard of that.
That's,
at all.
Yeah, I was surprised at dinner. I mentioned this anthro cartoon, and, like, nobody else had heard of it.
Yeah, Dog City, and it was in 92 to 94.
Yeah, it ran for 3 seasons. It only has, like, 30-something episodes, so it wasn't one of the... we're going to shit out 65 episodes and do it a daily thing. It was one of the Saturday cartoons that ran in seasons of, yeah, like 13 episodes, something like that.
And like Tesser mentioned, Wild West Cowboys of Mumesa.
Yep.
Which was, I think, on ABC and was in one of those. It was cows was the animal people. And they had like vultures and scorpions and evil cows. Then, you know, we mentioned...
and that's one I didn't really see. But then we mentioned Bucky O'Hare.
Bucky O'Hare.
Which I guess you and I both watched.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did see some of it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it was one of those things you saw and were like, oh, that's cool. I want to see more of that. Before, like, I don't know what this is. It's furry. But I don't know what it is.
What's strange to me about Bucky O'Hare is that... at the time, I was also watching a British sci-fi show called Blake 7 that some people have heard of, not a lot of people have seen in the States. Depends on what region, if you're a local PBS.
I've heard of it. You've talked about it, but I've never seen
it. Yeah. The concept and the character archetypes and even the ship design to a degree are all very similar to Blake 7.
Huh.
Like... even like some of the names are similar, and I'm wondering if maybe the original creator had used that as a concept. Because, like, the captain characters, you got Bucky and Blake, and both these inspirational, revolutionary leaders. And then you have the cat character, Jenny, is actually a combination of two Blake's seven characters, because she's a cat and she's the pilot and she's telepathic. The pilot in Blake 7 is Jenna, and the other character, Callie, is telepathic.
So I think they're kind of Jenny.
The main ship in Blake 7 is the Liberator, and the one in Bucky is the Righteous Indignation. And they have a sort of that central torpedo shape, and then three or four
bits.
Nacelles, basically, off to the side. They have quite a similar thing. And they're both fighting, basically, an evil federation that's in control of the galaxy.
Yeah. Frogs or, you know, evil Imperials.
Yes.
Yeah, it was like... And, of course, there was, like, obviously, the Disney Afternoon stuff. We can talk about that.
What was the other... Oh, Fish Police, you mentioned. Fish Police,
and then Capital Critters.
Capital Critters is definitely like, a primetime one. Some of these, like,
super obscure ones.
Yeah. Wasn't Fish Police a primetime one
as well?
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah.
It didn't last very long, as far as I recall. But I think it got, like, a video game, too. But it was another one of those. It started as a comic.
Yep, and like we mentioned, Bucky O'Hare started as a comic. Bucky O'Hare also got a 8-bit Nintendo video game release. I had the Nintendo game for it. I also had the Nintendo game of Tailspin, and you had to control Baloo going up and down in the Sea Duck, and then like there was like a bonus level where you could control Kit, and he's on this line out behind the Sea Duck, and you're having to like poof through clouds and stuff like that. Kind of like one of those Mario levels where you're trying to get all the coins. Mm-hmm. It was probably programmed exactly the same way. But
so Fish Police came out in 85 to 91 as a cartoon, as a show, as a comic. Trying to find the show. It was the story centers on Inspector Gill, a fish detective who is hinted to have been a human.
Oh, I started typing Fish Police into my browser, and the Wikipedia article came up about the cartoon.
Oh, Fish Police TV series.
Yeah, so the cartoon
it
ran...
was CBS in 92, lasting only 6 episodes.
Wow, less than a month, February 28th to March 13th, 92.
The show was canceled after airing only 3 episodes, the remaining 3 episodes having never been aired in the U.S.
Wow.
Huh.
Hanna-Barbera Productions, which also worked on Capital Critters.
Yeah, see, the show actually had, like, Tim Curry.
John Ritter was the main character.
Ed Asner.
I vaguely remember that. Oh, my God, Neil Patrick Harris was in Capital Critters.
So, this is funny. The article on Wikipedia, if you go down to the bottom, the grouping it's titled with is Furry Comics.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's like Albedo, Blackside, Bucky O'Hare.
Nice.
Captain Carrot, Amazing Zoo Crew, Critters, Cutie Bunny, Extinctioners, Furlough, Fritz the Cat, Genus.
Wow.
Randville, Heathen City has an entry.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, that's cool. Rocket Raccoon, Usagi Yojimbo, Ninja Turtles.
That's weird. I can't see the categories on Wikipedia.
I'm looking at the non-mobile version.
Oh, that must be what it is. It must have gone to the... let me go to desktop. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's a 9-inch screen on an iPad. I think I can handle the desktop version.
Yeah. Heathen City is a comic series created by Alex Vance in 2008. An adult anthropomorphic title has featured explicit violence and sexual scenes. The topic of this article may not meet Wikipedia's notability guidelines for books. This article is outdated.
Huh. I don't see the furry reference on... You're on the Fish Police page, right?
Yeah, and it's at the very bottom. The under the external links. It's
External links. Let's see.
So, like, all the way down.
Come on.
Weird.
Because, like, all the way at the bottom, there's other categories.
Okay, so you are not on the comics page. You're on the...
Oh, I'm on the TV show page.
The TV show
page. You're
on
the comics page. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
So, yeah, interesting.
Based on the comic book series. Oh, wow. That's neat. Publisher Fish Wrap Productions. Marvel Comics.
It lists various webcomics as well. Jack, Kevin and Kel, Lackadaisy, Ozzy and Millie. So it's like Wikipedia, I mean, it only has pages on things that people make pages for. So it's just like, that's a really weird selection of things.
Furry comics. Yeah. Furry fandom portal. Wow.
Yep.
And Ninja Turtles, of course. Usagi.
There's not a lot of furry cartoons right now, though, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest one's My Little Pony.
Yeah. But I don't really think that there's a lot of shows that feature non-human animal characters. Not appearing right now. So, like, if they were to resurrect SWAT cats, it would be, like, a real weird outlier in a lot of ways.
Right.
Because, I mean, during that time period, it was everybody and their brother trying to do some sort of furry cartoon.
You know what, though? They get the funds now, and they resurrect it, and then after Zootopia premieres, SWAT cats could do really well.
Yeah.
Because all these little kids will be like, ooh, talking animals are cool.
Yep.
Bam. This is actually a good time to relaunch a talking animal cartoon.
Yeah. I mean, they got that. When is that coming out anyway? Like next year?
I think it's March of 2016.
Okay, so it's still got a way to go.
That's why I like the teaser trailer has come out.
Yep.
And
it's like, hey.
You got their website and all that.
So it's like, what the fuck is a furry? All right, well, you've seen the Zootopia trailer, right?
Yeah.
It's like that.
Those are furries.
Yeah.
Oh, what was that? I was thinking of Over the Hedge there. What was that name for raccoons?
Oh, trash pandas.
Trash pandas. Yep. Yeah.
They're like red pandas, but trashier.
So they're the red pandas that are on the side of the street under the spotlight.
Yeah,
they're the leggings. Like, hey, sailor. Try to pick up the regular pandas.
Yep.
They're the trash pandas. Or the raccoons.
Yeah.
I like
we had a brief discussion on the German animal naming conventions.
Mm-hmm.
Just Google German animal name chart and you'll find a fantastic
flow image. Chart. Yeah.
Threatening chicken.
Yes, that was the best. Yeah.
German, it's all about compound words. Great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I think we can. What else?
I don't know. I want to see more furry cartoons.
Yep.
It kind of like.
It doesn't always have to be Disney. Come on.
That conversation like made me nostalgic now. I'm like, fuck, I want to see Dog City again, you know, and see if it was any good because I only saw like a handful of episodes.
Like, I would have to look it up because I had literally not heard about it until tonight.
Wow. And like, yeah, I remember Fish Police and being vaguely amused by the first episode. But if it only lasted three episodes.
Yeah. Like you saw it and it went.
Yeah.
I mean, very, very, very few shows get that short of a run.
Yeah.
It's happened recently.
Or to get like a negative run where like the pilot gets made and they're just like, no.
This is garbage.
And it never gets made at all. Yeah. That was, you know, my Fox and Wolf sexy fun times, you know. Was too hot for Fox.
Yeah. I mean, considering the stuff they air, I mean, they couldn't get Seth MacFarlane to really do it.
Right.
And, or, you know, make it part of the Quahog universe.
What was that show that Seth Green was in with a rat? Where it was him and I think it was a rat. It was
Greg the Bunny.
Greg the Bunny.
Maybe? Okay.
Yeah, no, that's right. It was Greg the Bunny. Okay. Yeah, I think there was a rat in it as a side character, or maybe I'm thinking of Ratbert from Dilbert. I don't know.
I don't fucking know, dude.
But yeah, no, I just remembered that it was Seth Green and a puppet animal and doing a show. And wow, that was a fucking weird time in TV.
Yeah.
That was the thing. About Dog City was it was co-produced by Jim Henson Productions.
Oh.
So they had these live action segments where the Dog City characters were puppets, and it was, and then they'd have a discussion and then go back to the story, which was animated. So that was kind of a different take on it. Oh, Road Rovers was the other one that we mentioned, which was fully animated.
And
that was slightly later. That was like 96, I want to say.
And that was super furry.
Yeah, that was...
Everyone's like, I want to bang that collie.
It was fucking turbo furry. When I got online and started, like, finding more furry stuff, one of the first things I found was Wookiee's series of drawings of the Road Rovers characters, you know.
Naked. Back in the day.
Back in the day, yeah.
Yeah, so if we've made you nostalgia for obscure-as-fuck furry cartoons, right into the show.
And share any cartoons that we forgot to mention.
I'm sure we've forgotten a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you know, if I took it back to the 80s, there's like Shirt Tails and Snorks and...
Raccoons.
Yeah, I mentioned raccoons at dinner. And I read recently that the guy that created raccoons is trying to do a relaunch also.
Okay.
So, you know, and yeah, the new show will be called Trash Pandas.
Yeah. They got to keep it up with the times, you know.
It was Canadian, too. And I love that none of the animals really look much like the animals they're supposed to be.
But they're very polite when they kick over your trash can.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, sorry about the Bessie. But I smelled some maple syrup.
You threw away some prime poutine over here, Ray.
Excuse me. So what else is going on in our fandom? I mean, nothing, really. Nothing at all worth mentioning.
No.
I mean, there's not even anything worth vaguely alluding to and not discussing.
Yeah. I mean, why even, like, you'd really have to dig deep to find stuff.
From
people that have been, they're non-entities. Who cares?
So a few days ago, I saw this great picture on Twitter that I actually downloaded. You've probably seen it, but it's like a little wolf or coyote character, and he walks up to a mud pit, and he goes, "Ooh, is that some drama?" And he, like, throws himself in it and starts rolling around.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, well, yeah. Let's avoid that.
Just, you know, don't be an asshole, kids. Don't be an asshole.
Oh, yeah. Is that some dramas?
The internet.
Little nice. Sign just says, the internet.
Yep. To be an edgy 15-year-old again. Thank God I'm not.
Look at all the fucks I give.
Yep. There's something wrong.
Oh, there's the what are anim nows? Vengeance. The spiders just called Vengeance.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the cat is fucking stupid idiot. Okay, special doggo. What are we discussing next?
Well, we do have some emails this week.
Okay.
So we can just get to that because I mean, again, there's nothing really worth note of.
Yeah. All right, let me archive this person pledged X amount of dollars. You want to start from the... Oh, okay, yeah. So somebody did send us a screen cap of our Patreon, which was briefly at $69.69 per episode.
Yes. So, y'all did that on purpose.
That's weird. I noticed the Patreon's thing says per and then per episode. So it's actually per episode.
Huh.
They should really change that since it's already
strange.
In there.
I didn't notice that, but yeah.
I just now noticed that, and I've been on Patreon for a couple months.
Because, like, there's per week, per episode, per month.
Yeah.
But per comic. Per episode. And per episode. That's a setting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Per. They're secretly furry.
Oh.
That's why there's so many furry artists on Patreon. Patreon is secretly furry.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll read this first one with the alluring subject line of no subject.
Ooh, baby. What is going to be in here?
Oh, baby. Tell me less. Dear Notcast, I couldn't help piss myself laughing when Fuzz mentioned the orgy scene in ASB as an introduction to furry. Now, I wouldn't say I've used it as an introduction to furry, but I have used it as an introduction to people when they enter my room and see the assorted piles of fandom-published books. Though I'll cut myself short of splurging out and typing my entire collection. Now, I just list the Fur Planet ones. Those are the important ones. Other than that, I just wanted to say thanks a whole lot. I've been a listener since episode 1, and your advice has been great, and you guys are awesome. Also, thanks for the shout-out. I've been wanting to support you guys for so long.
Yay!
Rayfar, an Aussie special Dogo. Fennec, excuse me. Yep. P.S. Could be an interesting topic to hear listener stories on bringing people back to their place or going to someone's place.
Oh, that would be interesting.
That actually is a neat idea.
I went to this guy's place and it was a moist basement full of porn. That could actually be a good topic, yeah. Not for next week because we won't be here, but...
Well, that'll give us a couple weeks to build up email. Yeah, then.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Right into the show.
Yeah, tell us about all the moist places you've done it. You know, anal, oral, not, all the terrible places you visited. And we have an anonymous follow-up.
Follow-up. Okay. This one is a follow-up. Hi, guys, again. In my attempt to keep my email somewhat brief, I seem to have misled you on a couple of facts. As I said, I'm moving back to my hometown after a separation with my partner. The separation was amicable. Words are hard. We are still friends and roommates. The only reason why I'm moving is we are no longer together. I've determined that the place where I was living had nothing left to offer me. I'm moving back to my hometown, but not to my parents' home. I'll be living in a house about 8 miles from my parents. I will be living with my collared pup. I don't know what the final outcome of that relationship will be, and I'm not pushing forward with it. I'm letting things happen as they do. Before we go off on a tangent about rebound relationships, my pup and I already had an existing relationship prior to mine and my partner's breaking up. But as I said, I don't know what the final shape of our relationship will be, and I'm not pursuing it. I'm letting it happen naturally. And he realizes I need to be a whole person before I can be with another person long term.
Mm.
Further, I am not moving until I have a job secured and fully self-sufficient. In fact, one hot prospect will be nearly 60 to 70% pay increase into the mid-60K range. I feel to do otherwise would be irresponsible and reckless.
Very true.
I do not wish to recloset myself, but I also wish to remain respectful of my parents' feelings. Mom has asked a couple times if I was gay, and I have sidestepped the question, often giving a very politician-type answer. I do not feel this to be dishonest, as I identify as bi, even though I have not physically been with a female more than some CBT. Okay. The town I'm moving to is massively larger and more metropolitan than where I currently live, and there are a number of pride events, including one worldwide fame having something to do with wearing red shirts. Okay. I know my folks enjoy the local convention here and have seemed to be non-homophobic, seeing guys being affectionate together in public. I am not at risk of violence, but it always differs from when it is the parent's own child. I am just not sure how open I should be around them. One, should I just be myself and let them see that I'm the same person, just wearing jewelry and shirts that have personal meaning to me? Should I hide myself when around them and only address it if it's seen? Or address that I am gay and advise that we may see me wearing shirts and such that they are free to ask and I am not going to talk about it unless they ask? Four, some other option I haven't thought of. Anonymous. Okay, so last week we were like, I'm moving. This guy was like, I've separated from my partner and I'm moving back to my parents' hometown. And we made the assumption that, A, he was moving back to this person's his parents' house,
mm-hmm.
and that this was going to be a smaller, ruraler town. We had no point of context. Right. So we were having to make a guess. And we're like, all right, well, if you're moving back to your parents' place, you probably need to keep it on the DL. But if you're living on your own or with roommates...
With your pup, 8 miles away from parents.
Yeah, that's another thing entirely. I mean, if you're in a metropolitan area, no one's going to give a damn if you're gay. You know, it's like the answers we gave were basically dependent upon if you were moving back with your parents. Because sometimes you just gotta go with the flow and keep everything on the DL to make sure you still have a house.
Yeah.
You
know, I'm honestly leaning towards option one, you know, or just sort of be yourself.
Yeah.
And you know, if they, you know, because I clearly your mom already suspects, or she wouldn't have asked you before. But if you know she sees you wearing some gay-esque shirt and asks you, I mean,
just be like, yeah,
you could, yeah. If she opens the conversation by asking you, then
she wants to know the truth,
right? And I'm kind of leaning towards coming out at this point,
yeah,
especially when you're an adult and you have a job and in a house and, you know, you're living out of the house and stuff like that. Yeah. That's a totally different situation.
Yeah. But we didn't have that context. And so we're like, all right, well, this is kind of a worst case scenario.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're living in a metropolitan city and you're going to have a decent income and you've got a place to stay and it's not at your parents' house, then yeah, just be yourself.
Yeah.
You can probably be a lot weirder. I say that relative, you know, you can be a lot more open about your things, probably in a more metropolitan area.
Yeah. I know what he's referring to, by the way, with the red shirts.
No, I don't.
I don't know. You want me to say? That's the all the gays wear red shirts to go to Disney World Day.
Oh, right. They also do that for Six Flags here in Dallas.
Oh, that's cool. And
there's always really shithead protesters.
Oh, I remember for years the Baptist Church protested Disney, like just raised such a stink about it because Disney wasn't like officially endorsing it, but they weren't stopping it either.
Well, yeah.
And then I remember the Baptists like at a point said, "Okay, we're going to stop boycotting Disney," or something like that. And then like the same week Disney was like, "We're officially recognizing the gay day at Disney," and the Baptists were probably like, "Fuck,
son of a bitch."
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I mean, again, with the further information, just be yourself, dude.
Yeah, I think you'll be all right. Yeah. And the thing, the interesting thing, like you said, it's different when it's your own child. What's weird about that is I've seen that both go both ways. I mean, we talked about that a couple of weeks back with Vice President Cheney.
Yeah.
How, you know, his whole party is like very anti-gay marriage, but because he has a lesbian daughter, he's not on the platform about that one issue, although I disagree with him about pretty much everything else.
Yeah.
So and there's a lot of actually politically the Republicans are in an interesting place right now because like people have been asking them the where are you on the gay marriage thing, and like several of them have gone to gay weddings for friends.
Yeah.
And it's like they can't really tap dance this issue. So I mean some of them are actually glad that this is now a settled issue legally.
Yeah, and you still got the fuckheads who are like, "No, I've got to reintroduce a bill." And,
whatever. There's still the Rick Santorums out there. You know, he's still talking hate and stuff like that.
Whatever, fuck him.
But I think it's becoming a non-issue.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you know people directly, sometimes that sort of softens your view because then you're like, "Oh, they're people just like me. No, they fight like real people." That was from Zach and Miri. Make a Porno, which is a really neat scene in it.
Yeah.
But
that was a fun movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, that can really go both ways. But, you know, I wish you luck if you do decide to, or if the opportunity presents that you end up coming out. Is it my turn again?
Yep.
Okay. Some things may or may not be over the rainbow. Hello.
Furry over there.
Okay, go ahead. Rainbow and under a wolf. Hello, Notcast. Some things to get out of the way about myself are I am still high school aged.
Okay.
And I've only really acknowledged my furriness for a few months now.
Fresh meat.
Furry podcasts like this one have really gotten me willing to commit to being a furry, so chalk one up to podcasts. Yay! To business, at this point, I'm more than sure that you've heard of Otherkin. We have. People who don't quite feel like people, rather they have a deep connection to an animal, usually their Sona as well. I think Otherkin and Therian, like...
That's closer to that.
Yeah, like, Otherkin is more like non...
Spiritual...
Like non-regular animals, like... I don't want to say unreal, or more mythological, like gargoyles, sure. Dragons, satyrs... unicorns, stuff like that, where Therianism is more like actual animals that are on Earth now, like a wolf or a bunny or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever.
A bear.
So, I mean, if your animal, it depends on the species of your animal, I guess. But, I mean, I'd say what you're describing sounds more like a Therian to me. But, anyway, my Sona and my connection to my Sona are draconic in nature. Okay, so Otherkin. I could have just read along.
Yeah, and you could just
saved like all 5 minutes on the podcast. We'll edit it in post. No, we won't. Savage lazy. Because of this connection, I often have horrible urges, instincts, if you will, that despite my best efforts often turn sexual and drive me to do some very stupid things. Like getting my dick stuck in the outboard suction of a pool, and then the fire department had to come and like cut me out of the pool, and I went to the hospital with this big pipe stuck in my dick, and they couldn't do anything until the swelling went down. I was just going to say, you know, eating
a virgin every month, it has to get expensive after a while.
Yeah. It's, you know, and you're coughing up bones for ages, you know? And sometimes the hymen gets stuck between your teeth. And
just go on, Fuzz. Okay. Read the fucking email.
All right, we're there. We're there. Okay, doing stupid things. Okay, luckily for me, I have a very supportive girlfriend who has gone over and beyond my hopes in her acceptance of what I am. However, and I'm sure you hear this often, my parents are proving to be a huge issue. Specifically my mother, who is under the impression that the sexual side of the community is the only side. With the recent news of AC going national, she's been particularly upset about them. What? What?
Look at those furries being relatively normal and acceptable. They must be stopped.
This goes against my deeply held beliefs. At this point, I'm a little worried as to what she'll do to me if I screw up and she finds some furry art I've made, or that my father will find my private and recently furry-filled searching history, which has been heavily restricted because of past not-too-appropriate searches that were non-furry. Okay. Chicks with dicks. Before you tell me to just delete the history, he's placed a parental control system that copies my history regardless of source. I feel like I've dug myself into a hole that will collapse on me at any moment.
Incognito mode in Chrome, dude. Go on.
Depends if that works with the parental controls. Yeah. Also, most computers have IE installed out of the box, so would he have the correct permissions to install Chrome if it's not already on there?
Okay.
Well, but I don't know. There are even incognito mode in the other browsers, both Firefox and IE have incognito mode as well. But
I'm, yeah, and it doesn't keep a history and doesn't keep cache or...
It automatically deletes it all when you close the window. I don't know how that works with whatever kind of tracking...
I don't fucking know.
...stuff he's got on there. Maybe some nerdier furs could write in with info, because I'm not a real... I don't know all that much about computers. I really need to mark my spot when I go off on a tangent. Dug myself into a hole, collapsed on me. Okay, so far I've been lucky. This goes for my friends as well, which have shown time and again plenty of acceptance, but only in very specific places. Their judgment against other topics has been scary, to say the least, and I'm worried that furries might fall under this category. Put simply, the question is, what should I do? Try to deny my nature and mask what I can until I'm older. Another option might be to start embracing it and allowing it to become an outwardly defining part of me, like you guys and the rest of the fandom. A big part of me wants to keep doing what I've been doing, trudging along and waiting for somebody to find out. Confused is too weak of a word. All of this is new to me, but feels like something that I've needed for a long time. I know this is teenage drama and is probably going to get a ton of eye rolls. Hell, maybe I'll look back on this and roll my eyes myself. Believe me, in 10 years, you will look back on yourself 10 years ago, no matter what age you are, and roll your eyes. This is why you don't get a tattoo, because, you know, 10 years from now, you'll be like, fuck, me 10 years ago was a moron.
But vote for Pedro, man.
And I say that now at my age. And we were just talking about... not to get too deep into it, we were talking about how our show and the kind of jokes that we make has actually changed a lot in the last 8 years. And shit that we said like 7-8 years ago that we thought was really funny, we're now like, that's really kind of inappropriate and a little offensive. And some of our jokes have fallen out of rotation as we've matured and evolved on certain issues and stuff like that. Like, I mean, I no longer believe that, you know, we should kill them all and let God sort them out.
You've become far more progressive on that.
That's right, yeah.
You know, it's kill them all and let evolution sort them out because there is no God.
That's right, yes. Yeah. See, I've evolved spiritually into having no spirit.
High five.
Anyway. Okay, let me finish the end of this email here. Yeesh. I'll look back and just roll my eyes myself, but this situation is all too real and crushingly stressful to me. Any input at all is graciously accepted. In case it matters at all, I am...
Why don't we just keep it anonymous?
I'm anonymous. A handsome dark blue dragon, not one of those skeevy dark blue dragons that hang out with the trash bears and the drop bears. I am very pleased to...
And the sea cows.
The what?
And the sea cows.
Yes.
And the lazy animals.
I am very pleased to have finally worked up the courage to contact you. Thank you so much, and I hope to contact you in the future. So... Mm. Yeah, a lot of this is actually, like you said, it's teenage stuff that will go away or, you know, become way less important to you in time. You're at that point in your life where you're like, you're trying to figure yourself out and everything like that.
Yeah, that takes a while.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm very... skeptical of the Therian and Otherkin thing, in part because I don't really believe in souls and spirits and former lives. And, you know, a lot of people try to equate being born in the wrong body. They try to equate transgenderism with Therianism. And I'm like, no.
I know some people that would cut a bitch over that. But, I mean, regardless of the Otherkin stuff, I mean, the whole... You know, you've got a girlfriend who's been pretty supportive of your stuff.
But you guys can be weird together, and that's cool.
Yeah, and that's cool. You know, the parents keeping a sharper eye on you because you fucked up somewhere. Get caught looking at porn or whatever. It happens.
Yep.
Basically, you know, I think, like, the whole with your parents being like, ugh, anti-furry. Well, I mean... If your parents have seen, like, the national covers that Anthrocon got and, like, were mad that, why don't they show all the deviants? Well, because there's, you know, that's not the majority of the fandom.
Yeah.
You know, we had this discussion the other day where it's like, you know, the vast majority of the content produced in any fandom is going to be clean. And there's going to be adult stuff in every fandom. Mm-hmm. Every fandom. But, you know, it's never the majority.
Yeah. And, then, I mean, you could also discuss, like, the vast amount of money that not just AnthroCon, but other cons have raised for charity.
Like the, what, 50 grand or whatever that Fiesta's raised for care or something like that?
It's something like that, yeah. It's actually
more than that now.
And I think AC put their total in one of those articles as well.
Mm-hmm. That's a shitload of money for animal rescues of some sort.
Yeah, they do something different every year, and it's always one that's local to the Pittsburgh area, which is why the mayor's office and stuff has such a positive relationship with them.
It's local.
And it's local also, charity orgs, yeah.
It's just good for the city in general.
Yep.
You
know, you could point out all the positive stuff that the fandom has done and accomplished, you know, like saving a restaurant and, you know, currently... One of our own being injured in Taiwan and, you know... And
raising 85,000 plus.
Oh, is it up to that? Yeah, it's...
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Last I looked.
Raised quite a bit of money for him for reconstructive surgery and physical therapy and, you know, hopefully getting him home at some point. You know, we're a very close-knit family. We're a very close-knit community. It's like a family in a lot of ways. There's a lot of positive stuff to say about the fandom.
You know, and you make long-term friends. I mean, shit. Again, I've known Guardian and Shiva at various points since I was, like, 16.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so funny. But, you know, in a day-to-day basis, I'm like, you just cover your tracks and downplay it. Talk to some people at school about covering your tracks on the computer. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, I, you know, maybe the computer lab computers don't have as robust security on them. I'm not sure. See, I didn't grow up in this era. You know, I was 20. The way we talked about that tonight, I was 21 when I first got on the internet because my family was kind of backwards and thought that computers were just toys. And that I couldn't do any schoolwork on them or anything like that. So I didn't have to really deal with this hiding my internet history from snooping parents. Did you have to deal with that to a degree?
Yeah, but I knew a lot more about the computer than my parents did. So I never had to worry about hiding anything because I knew how to delete history and cache.
And they didn't know how to stop you, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it was in a, you know, I just didn't have that issue.
Yeah.
It was really I knew more than my parents did about the computer and made sure there weren't any viruses or anything in it.
Yeah. There's got to be ways to get around that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, look, I mean, your parents, they're going to try to retain their control. You are in high school, you say. And so, I mean, you're going to be under their ruse for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to play ball.
I honestly think that's really damaging. Like, I remember reading some child study, or, well, I didn't read the study, I read the article about the study, but this was a few years back, about how, like, when kids are super young, like, they have no concept of clothing or modesty, and they'll just run around nude while you're running after them, trying to get them dressed or whatever.
Yeah.
And then around the age of 4, I think it said, they start to develop a sense of privacy. Like, they want their own space. They don't want their parents to see them naked and things like that. Mm. And it's actually good to respect a child's privacy as a growing person. And that continues on in the young adulthood, mm-hmm. where, like, you shouldn't be, like, trying to stifle their burgeoning sexuality, you know? I mean, obviously you teach your kids not to, like rub one out in the street or anything like that.
Don't jack off at church, kids.
Right, but you're not supposed to really, like, shame them about that kind of thing. And it's maybe you should keep an eye on your kids to a degree, but,
like, you know,
it's appropriate that they be allowed to have their own lives as they're becoming people.
Becoming humans.
Right.
You know, becoming little adults.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that is important. And I think it's good that it's, you know, people our age who kind of have, you know, the views are changing.
Right.
And so it's like, yeah, you know, kids should have their own shit. I mean, yeah, keep an eye on them and know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But, like, I guarantee you, the harder you try to restrict somebody from viewing something, the more they want it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's interesting, the whole alcohol thing, too. Like, it's a stereotype, but in France, like, you have a glass of wine at dinner. And, like, starting from, like, the age of, like, 10, the children are having a glass of wine, too. And, you know, countries like that have a much lower instance of shit like binge drinking and alcohol poisoning and drunk, like, driving. And
Germany, too, I think. They have, like, the beer that's low alcohol that you can have at 16 or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Canada has a lower drinking age and lower issues. It's just whenever you stigmatize something and try to take it away from people, the more exotic. They'll want it. Yeah.
Which is funny because now that a couple states have legal weed, like, right. Teens are smoking it less because it's, like, available and not hip or edgy. It's like, oh, I can just go to the store and buy it.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I hadn't read that.
It was, like, one of those things that, like, in Colorado that, like, since legalization up there that the incidence of teen weed smoking is down because they're like, oh, well, anybody can do this shit now.
It's not illegal. It's not cool.
Yeah, man, I gotta start, like, eating meth.
On to the hair. Eating. How do you consume? You smoke it. No,
yeah. I guess. I don't know.
As of eating meth.
Yeah, they're just like, fuck it.
Methios. You know, the new meth-based cereal. Stays toxic in milk. This is your turn.
Huh. Anonymous asked a question. I was listening to the Savage Lovecast, and the listener from last week who emailed about being in the pup community and was moving back to the town his parents live also called the Lovecast, which I found kind of funny. But hey, second opinions are kind of good. He gave pretty much the same advice, so I guess you guys aren't too bad at advice.
Ha-ha!
Yay!
Woo!
Go us.
Bro-fist. Bro-fisting.
That's actually kind of cool, in a way. It's like, hey, we're in line with, like, semi-mainstream gay relationship advice.
Yay, thought. We're in line with people that actually know what they're doing.
Yay!
Okay.
In this one instance. This
yes,
time.
Yes, the rest of the time, Dan Savage is like, Notcast is the most dangerous podcast on the internet.
No, that'd probably be, like, you know, some American Family Association show or something.
Right, yeah. That are like...
Prison Planet, you know.
You should put saran wrap on your dick and just not use it. Just don't even pee. Have like a separate pee tube installed so that you never have to touch your dick. Actually, there's Billy Connolly had a joke about that. Because like back in the... In like two generations ago, it was like a sin to masturbate, and especially growing up Catholic and crap. But he was like, "Yeah, I don't even touch it when I'm having a piss. I use those tong things you get in cake shops." So what do we got here, Sabra?
We got an email from somebody saying, "I've been listening for about a month, and I'm up into episode 73." Fuck. Do you want me to read this one, since the one I asked was short?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
So this is an anonymous one. Hey, Notcaster, has been listening for about a month now, maybe more. I'm up to episode 73 and still going. This is episode 288. I was hoping somewhere down the line someone with a question similar to mine would ask and I would get my answer. I also didn't want to ask you something that may have been answered already. I originally decided to only ask once and got through all episodes if it wasn't asked previously. I hope I'm not the only one with the problem, but I don't understand myself. I tell people I'm bi, but I'm not really sure if I'm more straight or more gay, or strictly one or the other.
See a doctor. Whatever the problem is.
Let me start off saying I got into the fandom on werewolves, shapeshifters, and transformation. Transformation is still my biggest fetish, and among transformation, transgender transformation, TGTF, or gender shifting is my biggest TF kink. More often than not, I'm looking at more normal pics, two furries fucking. What really does it for me is chicks with dicks, harem, shemales, dick girls, whatever. I think chicks with dicks are the best. Better than males or females by far. For some reason, I don't care for pics featuring females. Occasionally, it's okay if I presume the female was previously male. Imagining a little gender swap backstory about the character.
What I really want on my hot chicks is big fat cock.
Yep.
Are you a brony by chance?
A big fat horse cock on a chick with big tits.
Yes.
I most prefer two herms or shemales, then I go for males with herms and shemales. But a male-male pick is next best if I presume the dominant male was previously female. Female-to-male TGTF is also awesome to me.
You've said male, female, and she-male so much.
It just blurs together.
Immediately pops into my head was that how much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a male-male, she-male, she-male-male? And I was just like, ah!
Yeah, so anyways, I have liked many girls, but the only male I was ever attracted to was a close friend of mine so many years ago. We were getting to know each other, and I felt like he was a mirror of myself. We came from very similar backgrounds, and so he understood my problems more than any other friend I knew. I felt like I could tell him anything, and he understand me. I told him I loved him. He seemed a little unsettled by it, like he was flattered but not interested, but he didn't say no. A few days later, he had a new girlfriend. I told him I was just confused and meant I loved him like a brother, which I'm not sure was true, but I don't know. I recently met him, and I think I do see him as a brother. I do feel close to him, but I don't think romantically. Anyhow, other than that, I've never felt attracted to any man. I prefer the female body, but for some reason a cock on it is so much more appealing to me. I feel like I'd be gay for a shemale, but I've been attracted to females. But I don't like females in porn. I've tried many toys. Dildos were all right, but eh. I tried penetrables from Bad Dragon. The Anthro Husky has been my favorite. But I also got the fox butt. But it just doesn't do it for me. I feel like I might be able to be attracted to effeminate guys or a girl maybe with a strap on sometimes or something. It's weird. I prefer to see herms or shemales on top, imagining myself on the bottom, but I don't enjoy dildos much. I don't know what I want, be it with a guy or a chick pegging. I also didn't enjoy the butt penetrable toy, so I don't know what I'd be good with that I would be good with a guy at all. The dildo was more pleasurable than the butt penetrable thing, but maybe a girl pegging would be more enjoyable with the fantasy of a female to make male transformation or herm on top. I just don't know. I still prefer cocks in my porn, but I feel like I might be happiest with a girl. I am just so confused. Us two. I'm not sure I could be with a guy. I'm not sure I'm even bi. I just wanted your opinion. What do you think? Am I bi, straight, or gay? A bewildered white wolf. Let's see.
What's in the PS?
PS. I recall y'all constantly mentioning any more information about situations to make calls. I still live with my parents. I was trying to move out with my friends a few times, but it keeps falling through. Also, my parents think I'm bi and they're fine with it. They know because, funnily enough, one day I left a dildo on the floor and my mom's dog brought it out to my room and left it in the dining room. They also knew I'm a furry, so the fact that it's a canine cock dildo, that must be mine. I was called out to return it to me, but they didn't say anything except that I was missing something and gave it back, snickering a little. But a while later, I was told...
How did they know it was yours? How did they know don't think that your dog is bi? It could have been the dog's.
Yeah, the dog could have gone on the internet, borrowed your credit card, and, you know,
Yeah.
Brought it, you know.
I mean, we type with paws.
Yeah.
Why couldn't your dog? Anyway, go ahead.
But while later I was told if I was gay, it was okay. I told them I was bi or at least bi curious, and I was assured they would love me no matter what. It was reassuring, but I'm still not sure. So I'm not uncertain due to parents pressuring me about straight relationships. I'm also agnostic. Mother is a strong Christian. It can be a little uncomfortable when she quotes the Bible and such, but she is still okay with me being bi or gay. I'm just not very religious. I feel like there could be a God, there may not be, but in the end, I don't care that much.
I just don't know if there's a God or not.
I don't know anything. I try to be the best person I can, so if there is a heaven, hopefully I'll get in. But if not, it's still all right to be a good person. I think that should be enough background stuff to help y'all decide if I'm straight, bi, or gay, right? I'm not gay, repressed into being straight or bi, that much is certain. Hope this helps, and thanks again for your answer.
And I might be more Christian if God was a shemale.
Yes. If God was a nice hips, big tits, and a giant horse cock, you know.
And an old man head with a beard.
So, like, you know.
And angel wings.
Yes.
On the horse cock.
Well, no, so you see, if he wants the big tits, female body, and the horse cock, he just wants Princess Futa, Princess Celestia.
Which is a perfectly fine Princess deity. Hermlestia.
No. I'm sure that somebody's titled something that way.
I'm sure.
So.
You're young, dumb, and full of cum. Your hormones are raging, and you don't feel a particularly strong societal pressure from your parents to conform in one way or another. So the options are open to you.
Yeah.
So I think you're just young, confused, figuring yourself out. My advice is don't worry about it. Don't worry about putting the label on yourself right now. And just kind of roll with it. You know, if you meet a nice girl, start dating her. Nature may take its course. Figure out what you like and what you don't like. But,
you know, pegging.
Just, yeah. I mean, pegging is a thing. You know, straight people do it. Lesbians do it. Bi people do it. If you like pegging, you like pegging, you know, and fuck it or let it fuck you. It doesn't matter.
I mean, it seems that, you know, you're more interested in the female form with a dick.
Right.
So.
But it's like also like, what do you like personality wise? You know, do you click better with a guy or a girl, or is it about equal and so forth? You know, so I would worry less about putting yourself into one of the boxes at this point.
I think at this point you're actually in a pretty good position because you have the opportunity to fuck all the things.
Well, right, or be fucked by all the things.
Yeah. And, you know, there's certainly no sin in trying the various permutations.
Yeah.
You know, be with a dude, fuck a dude, fuck a chick, be fucked by a chick. It's all cool.
Right.
You have to find what works best for you.
And, you know, as embarrassing as it is, it's actually really cool that, like...
Your parents seem pretty cool about it.
Your parents are like, okay, you're bi, whatever.
Yeah. It's like, hey, we found your thing.
And they apparently know you're a furry and don't have a major problem with that, so...
And they know you're not straight and don't give a fuck there either, so...
Don't leave your toys around and you're fine.
Yeah. Don't... Man. Those silicone toys are expensive. If your dog chewed that up, he'd be really mad.
Yeah.
So, basically, do you think we're bi, straight, or gay? Well, you could be pansexual. Who fucking knows? You know, you don't need to apply a label. You're young.
Right.
You just need to hook up with some people that are cool.
I think, you know, for some people, this variety of feelings settles down after a while and goes in a direction. And some people go their whole lives with multiple directions going on and just kind of let fate lead them wherever.
Yeah, well, to point to someone semi-famous, Erica Mohan, right?
Oh,
she's a lesbian, except she's in a relationship with the dude for 10 years. Like, he's the best one-night stand I've had ever, you know? And
right, yeah.
You know, it's like you never know where life is going to lead you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for her, she really liked chicks, but she found just the right dude. And they've been together.
And you know what? She's gotten shit from the queer community for identifying as queer.
And
because she doesn't identify, last I checked, she didn't identify as bi per se. She still identified as a lesbian, except for this one guy who was her husband, who she really loves. So like a lot of women in that situation, she's gotten some flack from various people in the queer community being like, well, you're in a straight relation. You're in a hetero partnership now.
Therefore, you're straight.
Therefore, you're not like, queer anymore.
You're like, no, I like the pussy too.
Yeah, and it's just, that kind of attitude just drives you crazy. Yeah.
I mean, the only person, only labels you should worry about are like the ones you apply to yourself. I mean, don't be a douchebag and try to fit people into little boxes. It's not helpful.
Yeah. I mean, in one way, it helps to know, and it can structure your thoughts in a way,
yeah,
how you approach the world.
Well, I mean, like,
but like, you shouldn't feel a pressure to do that, you
yeah,
know?
Well, like, okay. Well, you mentioned like the Erica Mowen thing, you know,
yeah,
feeling like, oh, I have to fit into one of these boxes or whatever. Well, she has whatever, you know, she defined herself by.
I think she just says queer.
Yeah. Now. I mean, and queer is such a fucking massive catch-all. It can mean so many different things for a lot
I
of
actually
things.
Really prefer queer as opposed to, I mean, LGBT or GLBT is not bad, but because it's only four letters, but when you start adding like a bunch of other stuff to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, just catch-all.
It's like
LGBTQ. You covered everything.
I'd prefer just queer as a catch-all, you know? We could just call ourselves Rainbow Folk or something.
We're a bunch of queers.
Sounds like a bunch of fae.
We're from Texas. There's steers and queers here.
That's right, yeah. Sometimes the steers are queer because they saw me and my husband going at it.
Yeah. But you're young. You can figure yourself out. And the best way to figure out your label is by experimenting and finding out for yourself.
Yes, putting various things inside you.
And other people.
And other people, yes. And vice versa.
Make sure you use protection.
Now, next email. Amusing on the importance of flexibility. Now I'm wondering which form this will take. Hopefully it's not about... Okay.
Yeah, this is Jeeves going, what is he doing here?
I saw a trigger word here and I was like, ooh, no. Dear Knotcasters, before I begin... A little parable. There once was a lady named Venus, whose body was shaped... There once was a person with many good friends. One of these friends, one of their oldest and best friends, was a griffin. His name was Gilda. They were very close, sharing an almost unique bond of humor and attitude.
You fucking ruined it! Oh,
sorry.
Read the email.
Oh, okay, all right. But over... Oh, shit, I did ruin it! Okay, sorry, my bad.
I thought you, like, read ahead and just
No,
it up.
It just popped into my head. But over time, this person noticed the griffin becoming more and more mean-spirited, lashing out and reaching the point where they were hurting the community which this person was a part of, hurting this person's friends and colleagues with their words and actions. At first, this person stood up for their friend, said they were just misunderstood and to give them another chance. And because they respected the opinion of the person, their friends agreed. They tried their best to make the griffin feel welcome, even as the griffin continued to put a strain on the bond between them and their mutual friend. Eventually, however, the griffin took a step too far. They pushed the boundary one too many times, and a person who had stood up for them and respected them for so long had to step away, had to put aside their loyalty to their old friend and tell the griffin to leave. It sounds like a familiar story, doesn't it? It should. The person was actually a pony, Rainbow Dash, and the griffin was Gilda, from way back to season one of MLP FIM. Funny how art imitates life sometimes and vice versa, huh?
Boy, howdy.
Anyway, on to the meat of my email, and I'm so sorry I completely if I just read that straight, it would have been way better. But
yeah.
My
you
bad.
You read it gay.
I see griffin, and I'm like, oh, it's Gilda. It's totally not anything else. Anyway,
hey, she got her redemption episode, and she, you know, made a friend.
Huh.
Yeah.
Maybe one day all griffins will get their redemption episode. Anyway, on to the meat of my email. With recent events in our fandom, in the fandom related to the above story, which I'm sure you will already have covered in the fandom weather report / fire status. No, that's a Bronyville thing. We don't do that here. I've had reason to think about the importance of being flexible with one's opinions. It should be perfectly acceptable, even encouraged, to change your mind about something. To look at the facts and say, based upon what I see here, I no longer believe that the Polish are evil.
They still don't have souls, though.
Right. Well, we know that. Now, I would like to change my opinion on this matter from position X to position Y. Yes, it is important to stand up for what you believe in, but it's also important to recognize which causes are worthy of standing up for, which causes are based on solid fact, and which are purely based on opinion or other less stable factors. Sometimes that can be hard. It can mean confronting a friend or loved one and telling them to fuck right off, that you feel their behavior is out of line, or that the belief they are sharing with the world is inappropriate. It is inappropriate to take out your penis at family dinner. The alternative to me seems far more destructive. Blindly sticking to one's opinion, staying the course, to use a phrase from recent history, goes beyond any perception of brave loyalty and into something far less admirable and dangerous. Blind belief. Blind belief benefits no one but those who seek to propagate that belief for their own well-being, and also almost always comes at the cost of the happiness of a great many others. I hope this email sparks some conversation or some thoughtfulness in the minds of the casters and listeners. Ever enthusiastic, Jeeves the Roo, Scotland. Yeah, I really need to see that other Gilda episode. Next email?
That's it. yeah, I mean, to being willing to, I wouldn't say grow up, but be able to, you know, evaluate your beliefs and be like, I don't necessarily believe that anymore. Huh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and... You know, putting yourself into an echo chamber is always a bad idea.
Right. And I think that's something that partially everybody does kind of naturally.
Yeah.
As they mature. But, like, for some stuff, like, I've really started to kind of look at myself more seriously where it's like... So, like, I kind of thought we were over any issues with equality with women. And, like, this was like... Oh, God, years ago, like, I was out visiting my sister, mm-hmm. and my sister told me that, you know, she had to, at the time she worked in downtown, back in Florida, and she had to walk a few blocks to work, and would tell me, like, yeah, I get catcalled all the time. And I was like, really? I thought that just happened in, like, cartoons.
Yeah.
You know? Or just as some sort of anecdote from the 30s or something like that, you know, because I'm a fat white dude. I don't get catcalled by construction workers, you know, and like I'd never actually seen it happen in front of me. And then someone I trust told me that it happened to them. And I was like, really?
Really?
That's bizarre. You know, and start really looking into it. And it was like, yeah, people hating on women. Still a thing. And... You know, I kind of started looking at my own life and myself. And, you know, frankly, the same thing with black people. You know, I thought 2008, I thought black president, great, racism is over. I really did do the dumb white thing. It'd be like, cool, we're all equal now. You know, we've gotten to that point. The majority of the country has voted for a black man to be their leader. We're good. And... Really not the case, is obvious to black people, but not obvious to white suburban people like me. And, like, my eyes have really been open in, like, the last couple of years. I've been reading more articles, reading from...
to evolve your opinion.
Yeah, reading stuff from a broader base of people. And, you know, and I'm like, you know, what can I do to help? And there's...
Well, like now you also have like the news being willing to report about police brutality.
Right.
A lot more.
So the thing I saw today, I tweeted an article that blew my fucking mind that somebody at the Dallas Morning News wrote an article that was like, the big lesson we need to learn is to be courteous to the police. And if the woman, Sandra Bland, I think her name is.
I'm afraid I don't know.
She's the latest one, but happened here.
Yeah, she like got pulled over and the guy arrested her and she ended up dead.
Yeah, yeah. You know, she was in a cell. She was alive 1 minute. She was dead the next. They say that she hung herself. But, yeah, and there's video of the pulling over and stuff like that. And this reporter had said, well, the real problem was is that she wasn't courteous enough to the police officer. So then he had to drag her out of her car.
Smash her face against the windshield.
Smash her face into the ground and haul her off to jail.
This big, strong man just had to do this.
Right. Yeah. And it's like, you know.
What sort of sniveling, boot-licking piece of shit are you?
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And it's like, if you're pulling somebody over, you know, black quarter polka dot, they may be irritated. I know I'm irritated when I'm pulled over, especially if I feel I haven't done something wrong. And people express irritation in different ways. And as a police officer approaching that, I mean, you're a public servant. Unless I've actually murdered somebody or committed a crime, you should treat me courteously. You know, you should have a kind of customer service attitude, frankly. You know? Knowing conflict resolution is an integral part of being a police officer. So you should be able to talk someone down from the pissed off ledge. Instead, this guy didn't do that.
Yeah, it's supposed to be de-escalation, not escalation, so you can pull out of the car and kill them.
And we've seen this so much lately that it's all escalation instead of de-escalation. And that article to me was just like, I don't think the guy that wrote it is evil. I don't think he's a racist. I just think he has blinders on. And, like, if it doesn't actually affect your own community, you don't think outside of it.
Yeah.
So he's like, well, I've always been courteous to police officers, and I've never had a problem. You know? And that's his point of view. But it's looking outside your point of view. Mm-hmm. Sort of opens your eyes up to what the rest of the world is experiencing.
Yeah. And yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, in conclusion, fuck the police.
Yeah, you know, back in the day, I totally did not get the attitude of black people of fuck the police. And now I totally understand it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been like 20 years. So I first heard that term probably mid-90s. Rap.
Tell him.
And, you know, now I'm like, you know what? That attitude is totally justified.
Oh, yeah.
And interesting point in this article is that something I actually saw in a documentary years ago was that black parents have the conversation with their children. And it's not the conversation the white families have of the here's the birds and the bees, etc. Because that's what I thought when I heard the conversation, quote unquote. It's the conversation of you're leaving our home where you are safe. You're about to be an adult. Here is how you have to act around white people, especially police officers. And you might get killed. And this is an actual thing that black parents do with their children. And apparently that conversation has shifted. It is not now cooperate, do everything they say, don't talk up. Now it's run. Because they have been cooperating for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, obviously there's always people that don't in any subgroup of humans. And now it's just run. And that doesn't even work all the time because the other guy in whatever state got shot like 8 times in the back for running away.
Yeah.
This wasn't Ferguson. This was
in North Carolina, I think.
Yeah, that was the legit one that was shot on a cell phone video and actually showed the officer
like planting evidence plant his taser
next to his dead fucking body. And that's just, so I found that interesting and quite horrifying. And
there just needs to be a mass dismantling of the police forces of the country and forced reeducation. I mean, we have to basically wipe the fucking slate clean.
The term I can't stand that I've seen a few people use is brotherhood. The brotherhood of a police officer, the brotherhood of a fireman, the brotherhood of your frat brothers, any fraternal style organization on that thrives off of machismo and masculinity and this chain of command and this honor bound kind of you'll do anything to protect the brotherhood. It happens in the military as well. And then this is how shit goes on for years. And then somebody talks. And then, they're a traitor and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, this happened recently. There was a dude in Florida who basically spoke up about brutality towards prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
And the net result was that the guy lost his job, had bad shit happen to him, and has been mm-hmm. hounded yeah. ever since, and like nine of the group of people that were there and involved in the brutality either got are still there or they got promoted.
Yeah, that perfect fucking the example. The anecdote
was like they saw a dude poke a fucking dude's eye out.
Oh my god.
Yeah. And like and nobody I didn't see nothing, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And just that whole thing, that covering for your brother's back or your partner's back, no matter what they do, is fucking dumb. Yeah. And to a lesser extent, I mean, you see it in relationships, you see it in friends groups. You know, there are people out there, mate does something stupid, you stand up for them and defend them, no matter how fucking ridiculous it is. And I am happy to say that Tieran and I do not have that kind of relationship. If I start mouthing off on Twitter, which I am wont to do, he walks up to me with Fez and takes my phone away. You know? He will not defend every statement I make if it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But there's people that have that. Oh, my eyes sting for some reason. There's people that have that attitude of, like, you've always got to protect and cover and back up the person next to you. It's like, yeah, if I'm in a war zone being shot at, I depend on the guy next to me to do that. But if you're poking out a prisoner's eye, then, you know, you shouldn't expect, like, the guy next to you to lie on your behalf.
And that was in Florida. And there was also another thing in, I think, Chicago, where the city fired one of their police shooting investigators because he wouldn't change it to being justified. Like, yeah. The so-called, you know, independent tribunal that's supposed to justify, you know, determine if police shootings are justified or not,
yeah,
wouldn't change this, like, oh, no, this dude, the cops totally blew this guy away, and wouldn't say, no, that was justified.
Hmm.
So fucked up.
Yeah. I mean,
it's fucked up.
I've been really bothered by how fucked up our society is, you know, lately. And it's just, and the thing is it has always been there. It's been there for decades. It's been there for centuries. And I feel like a moron because it's like I'm just now seeing it. But that's all part of, like, growing up and expanding your horizons and
being willing to examine evidence that doesn't necessarily fit your worldview.
Right. And
that is pretty fucked up.
Huh? Yeah. And even trying to read both sides of it, because I'll read an article on a thing and I'll have a gut reaction. I'll have a knee-jerk reaction, you know, and then I'll continue reading and I'll read the other side of it and I'll be like, oh, that's a good point. I hadn't looked at it that way, you know. And Tieran and I have these discussions sometimes where I'm like, maybe Hitler was right. And then Tieran's like, no, you're wrong, honey, and let me tell you why. And then we have a discussion.
Get off the internet.
And get off the internet. Stop looking at those conspiracy websites, you know, JewsDid911.com. All joking aside, you know, grow up, evolve, examine, and this isn't even relevant to any particular issue. I don't think we're well.
It's like
we're all beyond that. This is a more general thing.
I actually, this is something that I kind of had a realization about.
Uh-huh.
So I went to the Screw Attack Gaming Expo for about 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It was up in Frisco.
And I'm surprised you spent that much time there considering what you said about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I sat through a panel or two, went and did all the indie shit booths. Mm-hmm. But like, yeah, it's like, A, the realization that I am at least a decade outside of the age range.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, this is what a modern gaming convention is like. Young teens being dragging around their parents and people in their early 20s. I was probably one of the oldest people there.
Mm.
And boy, howdy, do people ask creeptastic questions of any chicks they happen to see. I went to the Rooster Teeth QA.
Right.
Because I've watched Ruby. That's pretty cool.
They did the Red versus Blue.
Okay, I still do both of those.
That's what I know their name from.
And, like, there was one chick on the panel, and, like, she got multiple rather kind of creepy-ish questions.
Huh.
Like, I'm like, really? People do ask these questions? Holy fuck, I thought this was just, like, an internet like, joke. Mm-hmm. Like, real people don't actually ask those questions, really. Like, I can't actually recall exactly what they were because I was just really super unimpressed by the event.
So I'm assuming that unlike your con that has a screener for the questions the voice actresses get asked, they did not.
No.
Right.
And so, like, it was just one of those things where, huh.
You probably, I don't even know if you know how many potential creeper questions having that policy mm-hmm. deflects.
Oh, we keep the note cards and we'll occasionally mm-hmm. go over them and think they're funny and sad and discard some of them. But mm-hmm. yeah, it's just one of those like, huh. Like, A, there should be a moderator, but it's also that disconnect. It's like, wow.
People are actually like that.
People are actually like that.
Yeah.
Huh. I mean, and yeah, I mean, identifying as, like, I've played video games my entire life, but I am no longer what people would consider, quote, the core gamer demographic, and so my opinions are actually kind of on the outside of some things.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, yeah, people are kind of shitheads sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just one of those. I went up there because just on a whim,
mm-hmm.
Just to see what it was. I had a Saturday. Sure. I had a Saturday free, and you it know, wasn't like that expensive.
You had a Saturday free. You're interested in games. Why not check it out?
It had a main events thing, and it had a panel room, and the rest was like there was some console gaming and some old arcade machines, and it was a million dude degrees inside,
mm-hmm.
and it smelled. Yeah. They did have some traditional gaming, and it was shoved off in like a closet.
What is traditional gaming in that setting? Is that board games?
Board games, RPGs, card games.
Okay, non-electronic games, basically.
So traditional games, and they had a vendor hall, which was kind of anemic. And mm-hmm. it was weird because, like, they had indie booths. They had, like, indie dev booths there.
Yeah.
And then they also had, like, you know, YouTube famous people. Booths for
that you
like,
didn't even
I'm like really some of the people I was like who the fuck is this? They have the usual like Team Four Star. They do the abridged. Remember the oh shit, what was it? Helsing Ultimate. The check your privilege.
Yes,
they did
yes.
that.
Okay,
and the. And like Angry Video Game Nerd, they had some stuff.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me like the two best friends play Persona 4
no.
or something like that. Cause, oh, God, that's so funny.
That is funny. Kenpachi Ranma-sama. but yeah, it was just one of those like, I went there and was just really disappointed.
Hmm.
Like, I had a shit ton of fun at PAX South, but yeah. I think a function of it was that there was so much to see and do. And
right.
this was in such a smaller space and on such a smaller scale. That, like, I just kind of came away disappointed. I wasn't expecting it to be anywhere near the size of PAX South, and it certainly wasn't.
Course, yeah.
But it was just, like, there's not a lot of space in that convention center.
Is this the Plano convention
center? It's the Frisco.
Frisco. Okay.
It's the Frisco Convention Center. There's, like, the embassy suites or whatever, and this is attached to it.
Mm.
I would say it probably has as much space as, like, I think the ballroom is probably as big as the ballroom at the Intercontinental.
Okay.
I think. I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But it is basically one large space, and there's a couple of tiny things on the side, but they basically divided it up to, it was like, to put it in perspective of, like, say, the Crown Plaza,
yeah.
it'd be like Trinity 1 through 3 was main events. The center chunk, Trinity 4 and 5, was where the vendor hall slash indie stuff was. And then there was, like, 6 and 7 were video games, and 8 was the panel room. So, like, that was kind of the division of the floor.
That is pretty tiny.
Yeah.
That's a tiny vendor space, then.
Well, I mean, it's larger than Trinity is at the Crown.
Right.
But it's also sharing
space with the indie dev area.
Yeah, that's basically the same division of space to mm-hmm. kind of give you a point of reference.
Okay.
But yeah, there was not a lot of vendors, and the indie devs had to share space. Oh, and it was actually kind of sad because there was some dude pitching his kind of crappy, like, card-based roguelike thing. And a dude came up and was doing a YouTube video. Mm-hmm. And so I'm, like, on camera, and I'm just playing. I'm like, all right, fine. I'm going to end up on some dude's YouTube video. And the dude's pitching it and telling me, oh, try this. And I'm playing it, and it crashes. It crashed while the dude was trying to do an interview, talking about the game while I was playing it.
Oh.
And I'm just like, turn around, wave. Like, sorry, I killed your game. And then I walked off.
jeez.
So it's like, yeah, you're
sad trombone music.
Wah, wah, wah. Oh, well.
Mm. I guess the...
You live and learn, and you say controversial things.
Yeah. The thing with Pac South, I guess there was a lot more personalities and studios that you were familiar with because it was larger.
Yeah, there was actual studios. Like, Nintendo had a booth, and Gearbox had a booth,
right.
And Twitch had a booth, and developers I knew, actually had a friend of mine that I knew was there out repping Logitech.
Oh, cool.
And I ran into her, and, you know, it was cool, and I got to talk to some people of games I'd actually heard of,
mm-hmm.
and, like, it was a lot bigger, and I knew more people.
Right.
The SDC website was piss poor in telling you who was actually there.
So... You know, the most ridiculous thing about that, you said you were going to SGC. SGC, right?
Mm-hmm. SGC, Screw Attack Gaming Con.
Okay. I could not find a single place on their website that actually said what SGC stood for.
Yeah.
Because I was like, what the fuck is SGC? And I Googled it. And the website came up pretty high in the Google results, which is great. Like, so it's like, oh, it's a gaming convention. And... I was like, Southern Gaming Convention, you know, something that, you know?
Previously, it had been labeled like the Screw Attack Gaming Expo, but I think they just changed the name for whatever reason and moved venues, because I think they were downtown at the Sheraton.
That's right. They were last year. Zap went over there and got his picture taken with Guy from Thing.
Some YouTuber, I'm sure.
Yeah. Somebody he follows.
But. And what's actually kind of sad is, like, they had a couple of musical YouTubers. Mm-hmm. Nate Wants to Battle, who does guitar stuff, and Smooth McGroove, who does multi-part acapella and multi-part musical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But neither one of them was actually performing. It was just like, hey, we do music on YouTube, and we're going to do a QA.
Oh, but they didn't line them up for a show?
Well, I mean... Nate Wants to Battle could actually have played. I hadn't heard of the guy. I actually had to, like, I walked into the panel room and was like, who the fuck is this, Google? Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to play? No, I don't have a guitar. Walk out. I was just like, oh, well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who the fuck you are, and if you're not going to play music, then why do I care? I actually don't.
Well, if you were already a fan, you might have some cues that he could A.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, and again, this is just part of me not knowing who the fuck some of these people were.
Right.
But,
we should have gotten a booth. We would have been just as successful.
Oh, I'm sure. You know. Because, yeah, Furry Fiesta should have a booth at the Screw Attack Gaming Con. That would work out.
Oh, fantastic. My God.
Yeah.
There's drama there. And we won't
it's old and it. Dumb and it's, whatever.
It's old and dead.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
So yeah, that's my that's another one of those disappointing revelations, but not nearly as like life altering as you know, the actual other stuff we talked earlier. But at least something that I kinda had to a forced like, perspective change.
Men are douchebags to women?
Wow.
Holy shit!
Yeah. Well, it's more like I saw it in the wild.
Right.
Like. It's one of those, I would never be rude to someone like that in person, and I don't, like, randomly, like, make creeper comments to anybody regardless of gender, and I wouldn't do it towards women because I'm not straight! And, you know, I'm bi, technically, but I'm not gonna make random...
Mm-hmm.
I just don't do that to people in person.
Yeah.
You know.
You do that over the internet, where it's acceptable.
No, I don't really do that either. No,
I'm joking, but...
Anyways.
Yeah.
It's just one of those, oh, wow, this shit actually does happen.
Yeah, and there was actually a... It happened in that case probably because it was a mixed crowd. But, like, I was saying how I never saw that shit happening, and I read an article about that, you know, why do so many guys say they don't see this shit happening? You know, the non-creeper guys don't see this shit happening. And there was actually research done that men don't do this shit in front of other men. Because it's like, I don't know, it's like that alpha omega bullshit, I guess. Yeah. They're like, they don't want another man to call them out. So they feel superior when they're like...
It's just like a dude by himself.
When it's a dude by himself, they feel more secure in being...
douchebags.
Being douchey to a woman, but if like a bunch of guys are around him, unless it's one of those situations where it's like a guy out with a bunch of his douchebag friends. But
yeah.
if you're just out with like a bunch of male coworkers or something like that, you don't do the hey baby kind of bullshit. Huh. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, there's been actual studies on that. That's why a lot of normal quote unquote men are like, I never see this shit happening.
Yeah.
Because they don't do it in front of them.
Oh, okay.
Kind of interesting.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that makes sense because, you know, most dudes would probably be like,
what the fuck, dude?
Don't be a douchebag. The fuck are you saying?
Yeah.
That's rude.
And, like, one of the things I said that you can actually help with this is calling out that behavior when you see it. Not that you were going to run up to the front of the panel and be like, fuck you, man. But, I mean, if, like.
I think I actually made a tweet. It was like, I was kind of shocked at that. I was like, wow, these guys are being creepers.
You know, it's like if we're out together or something and I go, hey, baby, ever had your asshole licked by a fat man in an overcoat? You would smack me and be like, not cool, dude.
I'd be like, what the fuck?
And then you'd bro fist me and be like, sweet Clerks reference, bro. Yeah. But no, you should totally be like, what the fuck happened to you? Did somebody slip you something? Because you don't usually act like that.
Yeah.
So do you want to stop and save and then hit these? Or do you want to save these for a couple weeks? Or what
did we get more emails?
Yeah, there's like 5 more of them here, dude.
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I guess your inbox didn't sync.
That would be why my inbox
is empty, I guess.
I was like, there's nothing new, dude. That's why we're just going off on random Oh, shit. Yeah, my inbox has probably crashed on this thing. Let me relaunch.
Okay. Never use a touchpad.
Yeah, let me stop and save because it's not late. We're actually doing really good on time. But I was just talking and going la da da da.
We've got all the time in the world.
I thought we were kind of like in the post show bullshit talk phase and not like that there was more emails.
No, I was in long dramatic tangent phase.
Hey, you know, this should generate a lot of emails, that's for sure. Let me stop and save though, because right. This has gone longer than I expected it
we'll
to be.
We'll be right back.
And after that three-hour conversation, we're back to actually recording the show. It is now midnight, and we're both bloodied and bruised, and slightly drunk. So we have a few more emails. We're going to get back to it.
I hate Fennex. No. I'm fenophobic.
You just don't like us special doggos.
I love that term.
So all good. Right. So who read the last email?
The last one, well, if it was the Jeeves one, then I read it because I fucked up the guild
right.
thing.
Right. Okay. So I'll do this one.
Okay.
This one's titled Sexy Time Help. See, so we had that long tangent before the break because my tablet fucked up and wasn't displaying the next email, this set of emails. So yeah. I thought we were done and just kind of doing this post-show chat, and we're like, oh, shit, there's more to do. So we're going to get back to the emails. Sexy time help. Hey, Notcast. So I found myself in a wonderful relationship with a very nice young lady. We've gotten to know each other quite well over a year or so, and in the last month we've become intimate. We've actually had some difficulty getting to the fun stuff, out-of-date condoms and shared hotel bedrooms being the main reasons. But recently, when we all had the necessary time and space to enjoy ourselves, we ran into another hitch.
The hymen.
Me and my little buddy aren't seeing eye to eye on condoms. I'm not a particularly long guy, but it seems I'm a bit too wide for your run-of-the-mill lifestyle. Me and my lady managed to go through three, awkwardly trying to get the fella to stay excited through the process of squeezing one on. He was having none of it, which is more than a little embarrassing. We managed to find another way to enjoy ourselves, but I wanted to ask you three, and Avery if he's around, if you ever had any advice. As there are condom brands that cater to are there condom brands that cater to the short and thick crowd? Other options I might try to pursue for contraception? Am I just doing the sex wrong? You get to hear back to you, and thanks for any help you may provide, Jason CD, the Writerly Raven. I will admit that I, you know, staying hard, getting a condom on can be kind of hard.
Yeah,
it is kind of unsexy in a lot of ways, but you should wrap your shit. Don't.
Oh yeah, yeah. Totally.
Short and thick, maybe you can try like the XL. I mean, you don't have to unwrap. You mean you unroll it down your dick and you get the
Then you'll be left with like the little roll at the bottom because you don't need the length part.
But you get the thick part,
right? The other thing is like the picture that we retweeted.
Yeah,
the
other day. Like a fist inside a condom,
and it's like, yeah, you're not. Most men, 99% of men, are not too big for a standard condom. There's just different techniques in staying hard long enough to facilitate them.
Yeah, I mean, it's not necessarily the tightness around the base of your dick mm-hmm. can be a problem for people, like the texture being weird. I mean, I'll admit, like the act, you know. Putting on a condom by yourself is kind of unsexy. But if you have your partner help you put it on, that could help.
Right.
Let me
ask you a personal question before I go into this. Are you cut?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then you don't have any insight here. I am also. But a friend of mine that I follow on Twitter is uncut.
And here, let me show you.
Yeah. And we ran, and there was, yeah, exactly, big meaty thwack. We were randomly in a discussion about this that... He uncut men have to put on the condoms slightly different because of the way their foreskin like rolls back and forth, mm-hmm. kind of like I forget what it was he actually said, but he had to like pinch it a certain way to keep it from rolling out of the way or something like that.
See, I mean, I'm pretty lucky that like I'm cut, but not like severely so. There's still plenty of skin around the shaft when like. Fully hard,
mm-hmm.
So I mean, masturbation ain't no problem for me.
Right. I mean, well, I saw this terrible article about men that are cut too much, and then they have to get an operation to like it basically drags your scrotum skin up onto your
and also like it leans the tip down because there's too much scar tissue.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Don't get your kids circumcised.
Yeah.
Unless you medically need to do it later in life, which may happen.
We actually have
a later in life email.
We have an email later on that involves someone has to be circumcised for medical reasons, which I was also circumcised for medical reasons. Like, I think we talked about this before. Like, you don't remember at all because you were a baby, if I recall correctly. I was like 5. So I actually have vague memories of like, waking up, looking down, and seeing blood and gauze, and then passing out again.
Yeah, I was a baby. I didn't have a choice in that matter, but I was lucky. Then, my cut's not that severe.
Yeah. So your doctor knew what he was doing, or they were doing.
In theory.
But also use a little lube. on your dick when you put a condom on, because it won't just tightly clench your dick. And if you don't use lube, it'll tightly clench your dick with, like, no stimulation or movement at all. Yeah,
and then, like, if you roll it down, it might catch a pube or two and pull it out. That would hurt. Don't do that.
Yeah, that's a turn off.
There is a definite technique to using a condom properly.
Yeah.
And it's going to take time and effort.
You pinch that little tip to make sure you don't have any air in it. You put it on the tip of your penis, and you roll it slowly down to your junk after you've put some lube on there.
Yeah.
Before you try to put it on, make sure that you've taken out of the package in the right direction. Because, I mean, it's a real boner kill to, like, put that little ring around the tip of your cock and then try to push it down, and it's on the wrong way. And all you do is push down on your dick a little bit. And it's just like you feel like a moron, and that fucks with your confidence. And erections are, like, really subject to, like, your mental state.
Oh, yeah.
And especially when you're young and you're
inexperienced,
or it's your first time with that particular person. You know, like, yeah, we've answered a lot of questions about, like, sexual, like, performance anxiety and stuff like that. And the need to put on a condom just makes performance anxiety worse. But, I mean, it is very necessary. There are other things you can do for contraception.
But still use a condom.
You know, I still advise wearing a condom because of disease prevention. I mean, of course, for straight couples, you're also trying to prevent
pregnancy,
but, you know, your girlfriend could be on the pill. She could use an IUD, a diaphragm. There's also a spermicidal cream that you can put on your dick that is supposed to kill anything. Liquid condom last time.
Just don't put the onus entirely on her.
Don't put the onus entirely on her. The cream spermicidal lube stuff is something that the man can do. There's also female condoms, which puts the onus back on her. Do not both wear a condom, especially if you don't lubricate, because that's a real good way to start a fire. So if you're, like, fucking in the woods or something like that, and you're like, we're going to freeze to death, then, you know,
just catch your genitals on fire. It might suck for a little bit, but you won't die.
Yeah, burning rubber and no pubic hair later, you will have a blazing fire, and you will be able to stay warm for the night as you cry yourself to sleep.
God. So that's the silly end of the answer.
Right. So on that note, good night, big boss. No.
Not quite.
But thanks for your email. I hope some of that helped.
Yep.
We should see if Avery is, like, willing to do questions by email or something.
Yeah.
To set them up like LubeDragon at Notcast or something like that. You know, don't email that. It's not a real email, but
yeah,
I'll ask him. Okay. All right. So it'll be my turn to read then. Long distance isn't so bad sometimes. Greetings, living room furniture, hirsute lupine, vulpine eater of scorpions, and any guests you might have. I just wanted to write in with some comments to the hopeful young fur who wrote in during episode 286, as well as some comments to anyone out there who's involved in a long-distance relationship. I know that the cast has touched base on the issue of long-distance relationships before, but I haven't seen it come up in the past few episodes, and there are a few number of furries who begin their relationships online.
Very true.
And, you know, interestingly, with what?
I was going to say, technically, Panther and I started online.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
it's kind of how things work.
I was actually going to say, even outside the fandom, overall, moving forward, LDRs are more of a thing as more people connect on the internet and get to know people that way and stuff like that. So
your dating pool is no longer, you know, necessarily caught to
just
your area.
Just local, yeah.
You have a dating ocean.
And remember, you know, if it's not in the same area code, it's not cheating. Anyway, moving on. No, kidding. AshleyMadison.com.
There's a fire.
I'm currently on the young end of the spectrum at 18, but I can speak from a bit of experience that long-distance relationships can be one of the most difficult but incredible life experiences you can have. I've known my mate for over 2 years, and we first declared that we were in a relationship in the fall of 2013. I know that nothing is set in stone, but he's given me one of the wildest rides of my life, pun possibly intended.
Hey-yo.
Boom-tsh. One thing I learned right away was that relationships, especially one over three time zones, take a ton of attention in communication and commitment. The biggest thing I'd advise for anyone out there in an LDR is that we live in 2015 and you need to use a webcam and or phone to communicate in real time. You should know what your significant other looks like and have a good idea of how to interact in a conversation in real time. You can hide a ton of crap in a text-based chat. This is very true.
That is actually really smart advice. See, when we were doing this early on, we didn't really have that option necessarily.
Yeah, it was all like you mailed a Dixie cup and a string to your partner, and then you attached the other end of the string to your Dixie cup, and you put them over your dicks as you masturbated. Yeah, they come with like shoot into their ear or something
because it'd be
listening. Yeah.
No, phones for sure.
Yeah.
But like webcams and whatnot being way more prevalent. You know, right. It's now a lot easier to actually get some
prevalent and also inexpensive, but high def and good.
Oh yeah, like I've got a little Logitech cam sitting on the table here. That's my like travel cam, and it's a 1080p Logitech C whatever.
Yeah, like my
with a built-in mic and a
My first webcam, I think, recorded in like 480 by 640.
Yeah,
in this grainy ass little picture, like. X number of frames per second. Mm-hmm. It was a small number, okay. You know. But yeah, webcams, cheaper and better than they were back when we were like starting out our relationships. I'm getting tired now. It's after we yapped away between segments here.
It's now 1 a.m.
Yes. My other biggest comment is to expect the unexpected. I ran into my mate through a random chance on FA, and I was admittedly too shy and hesitant to really say anything about my developing feelings for him. It wasn't until both of us broke down over the phone one evening that we knew there were real feelings there. Over the last year and a half, I visited him in Michigan several times, and he haul-assed to Southern California to see me a few times, too, thanks to amazing and supportive parents on both sides. That's awesome. We have a 5-year age difference, but for us, it just makes things more interesting sometimes. Each of us fills the other in on pop culture and random odds and ends that happened in the different times we grew up. I hope your 5 years older than your boyfriend takes advantage of that and be like, my family didn't have indoor plumbing when I was growing up, and we had to go outside and shit in the woods with the bears in the middle of the night.
Yep.
And yeah, but we still had webcams.
Yes.
The nicest thing about
we didn't have indoor plumbing, but we did have fiber optic internet.
That's
we
right.
had our priorities right.
Yeah. And you know, the ironic thing is that we could watch German Scheisser videos through the fiber optic tubes, but yet we lacked tubes to put our Scheisser in.
God. Keep reading, Fuzz.
The nicest thing about getting involved long distance is getting to know things about where your mate lives and how they came to be from it. Okay, he lives in Michigan. That is like a 2-minute conversation. It sucks. Oh. I want to be in SoCal. Please let me move.
Where there's the Upers and then there's the Mitten Folk and there's...
And then I haven't heard that term before.
I don't think it's an actual term.
I'm just imagining that, you know, that old story about the cobbler that, like, the elves would come and make his shoes in the middle of the night. I just imagine that they're making mittens and they're these wee elves. They're the mitten folk. They're closely related to the leprechauns.
Yes.
They all use Irish Spring. Okay.
Focus up.
Okay, yeah. Focus. Okay.
You can do this.
Okay. So did I read that?
Let's see.
Michigan's further up. Okay, SoCal. Thanks to amazing supporter. We have 5-year age difference. Odds and ends happen different times when we grew up. The nicest thing about getting involved long distance is getting to know things about where your mate lives and how they came to be from it. When a daddy Youper and a mommy Youper love each other very much, they have a Youpie husky. My latest visit to my husky was unfortunately for somewhat somber purposes. Serious face here. His father passed away about a month ago from cancer. #fuck cancer. totally mean that. And I happily flew to Michigan to pay my respects and help him and some of the family with the hard time. My message to anyone involved in a relationship is that nothing is for certain, and you need to make the best of what you have because life can be insane sometimes. At the same time, sometimes you can run into some really incredible things when you're with someone from another place. Before my most recent trip to Michigan, I'd never seen fireflies before, never gone swimming in a lake or canoeing on a river. Those things are in pretty scarce supply in California due to the lack of water. But having them shared with me showed me the world my mate comes from, one with water, and brought us a lot closer as a result.
Because you have water, and he doesn't. Yes. Therefore, he needs you. Or you need him.
Yes. And we bathed together, and he used me as a sponge. Because I'm from California and my skin is so dry, it just soaked up all the water. I remember him telling me that I looked like such a kitten running after the fireflies. You know you're close to someone when you feel open enough to do random cute things. That is very true. My best advice is to stay optimistic, keep in contact, plan for the future as well as for the times you can meet in person and where parents are concerned. And where parents are concerned, I'd recommend arranging a time for your parents or guardians to meet your mate over video chat, or possibly for your parents and your mate's parents to talk. My mom opened up to the idea of being with someone 5 years older than me really quickly after that point, and now she frequently keeps in touch with my mate's mom.
That's cool.
To sum up a long story, it's been an insanely fucked up, incredibly hard, and amazing year and a half with my mate. There's moments where you feel like giving up, but if you stand strong with your mate and do your best to communicate and stay together, you can set yourself up for some amazing times. I'm now moving to Michigan for college and looking to possibly move into a place with my husky afterwards. I love him so much, and I hope that anyone else in a long-distance relationship can stay together through the crazy bullshit that life can throw at you like we have. As a last point to this incredibly long email, I'd like to throw in a shameless plug to somewhat of a personal project. Myself and several prominent members of the fandom, including Zambuka, Kyle Gold, Kiefer, and others, have put together a series of nonfiction pieces about the furry fandom called Furries Among Us. I actually have heard of this project. The book features artwork by Rukus and Sabretooth Ermine and is available on Amazon at this link. Savard will put the link in the show notes.
Sure.
I'm also attempting to do more of my own writing, and now I'm an editor for Thurston Howell Productions, a small publishing house that deals with furry as well as non-furry literature. I'm hoping to make it more into the scene as a writer or artist one of these days. For now, keep putting together an amazing podcast, and thanks for all the laughs and advice. Best, Shoji.
There we go.
Thank you for actually a very well-written email, so I think I would trust you to at least do some copy editing and make sure that shit is spelled mostly right.
Yep.
It sounds like damning of vague praise, but if you saw some of the emails that we don't read verbatim, yeah. Yep. So, Sabrin.
All right. Anonymous asked a question. Dear Casters of Nod, I want to put myself on a healthier diet in order to slim out a little, but I am struggling to incentivize myself into sticking to it. A friend suggested I work out just how much money I will save by not buying unhealthy snacks and high-fat takeout food and use that cash to buy myself non-food items such as commissioned art or blind bag MLP figurines. Do you have any tips in this regard? Is the above suggestion a good one?
I yield the floor to the person who's actually done this.
Yes, actually. Also, you can use that money to buy healthier food. Going out to eat is expensive. If you don't have a high-paying job and you and your boyfriend go to Whataburger and meal for both of you is $15, and you just spent more than an hour of your time paying for that delicious pair of burger and fries, you can look at it that way. You can basically incentivizing yourself like, hey, when I get to blah, I want to cosplay as blah, or I would sure like to have like a first feed partial, and I can do that a lot easier when I'm lower weight. Mm-hmm. I mean, you basically have to set a goal for yourself. You first of all have to want to do it. You have to have the drive to take the steps necessary to get your ass in gear. I mean, you have to really want it. And it has to come from within you.
Well, that's where the fat is.
Well, I say that because as somebody who I had to have, a wake-up call. And,
mm-hmm.
that those are usually those are those can be scary, and you know, but yeah, saving up your money, figuring out like I'm not going to Whataburger, I'm not going to out to eat, I'm saving my money. Yeah, save that up, you know, spend the money elsewhere, or use it to, you know, as you lose weight, buy yourself smaller clothes. Mm-hmm. Like, I had that issue. I went to the gym the other day, and like a lot of my workout clothes are really baggy now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, huh, that's a good problem to have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you do eventually.
It's easier to get a hot guy into your pants when there's room for both of you.
Yeah. So yeah, your ideas have merit. But you can also use the money to eat healthier and save up for a thing. Yeah, use the money you're not spending on one place to go towards something else you want.
Yeah, save the money, buy those MLP figurines, and then eat them because they're low in fat.
Yes. Just high in plastic.
That's right.
That's the problem.
And likely lead.
Mm-hmm. It's the paint. Made in China, yo.
Delicious lead. Yeah. Okay.
Turns out everything's made in China is made of lead. Even Chinese food.
Yes. Clank. Oh, these noodles are heavy. Help me stay celibate. Now, when I saw this, I was like, oh, man, you're writing into the wrong podcast. We're more likely to incentivize people to just paint the town white.
So...
Yes. Did you want to read this or
no? you can read
okay.
it.
Okay, all right. I thought you were going to say something. Sorry. Hello, Notcast. Silkpaw here with an unusual problem I hope you can help me with. This may be a bit TMI. This is an email that we hinted at earlier in the show. I'm getting circumcised in a few weeks for medical reasons. You can look up phimosis, that's what a PH, if you need to know the details. It's something I've been reluctant to do, but nothing I've tried so far has helped, and now I just want it done. And now to my problem. There is a healing period of 8 weeks where I'm not allowed any sexual activities. 8 weeks, that's 2 months. For someone who normally has alone time 3 to 4 times a week, that is a pretty long time. Do you have any advice on how to get past this? I guess keeping away from FA is the obvious thing to begin with, but any other ideas that could make this easier? Thank you for a great show. You do make a difference. Silkpaw, a Swedish lynx. P.S. The Tumblr asked about hitting rock bottom last episode made me laugh harder than it should have. Then I understood it, and I laughed even harder. I guess it's true. Blondes have more fun. Smiley face.
I think that at least... for a little bit post-surgery, you're not going to want to touch your dick.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to want to get hard.
Yeah.
But I would advise, yes, stay away from the places you normally consume porn from.
Yeah.
Pornhub, FA, E621, Derpaboru, wherever you go.
Right.
Just try... I mean, your dick's going to hurt, like... There's just no fucking way around it. I mean, with phimosis, it's going to hurt probably less than it might have. But you're basically going to... A, you're not going to want to touch your dick for a while. Mm-hmm. And two, I mean, yeah, just abstain. It's, you know, I think you could get it into your head that maybe I don't want to tear the skin on my dick. Put that in your head. And you won't want to tear the skin on your dick.
It'll already be, even as it's healing, it'll be sensitive in a bad way.
Yeah.
And you know you're just going to have to go through that healing process if you break the healing again. Yeah. And that's really going to not be good at all.
Cold showers.
Huh?
Cold showers.
Cold showers. Margaret Thatcher naked on a cold day.
Yes. We both went there. Yes.
I don't even. Is that Austin Powers? Okay. I'm like, I've just had that thought in my head, and I'm like, I don't even remember what that's from.
Margaret Thatcher naked on a cold day. Margaret Thatcher naked.
Yeah. I mean, you can think of things that turn you off. Frankly, looking up penis involved medical problems will make me like throw up and pass out.
The dick just goes.
So, like, if I'm reading up on phimosis, which I'm not, but, yeah, I would not be fapping. You know, things that just kind of put you off, you know, that make you not hungry, that make you not horny, you know, the things like that. I think part of it will be easier than you think. I think, yeah, part of it will be frustrating. But the thing is, a lot of it is going to be, the latter weeks is going to be willpower, you know? And what you have to realize is you're not going to die from not jerking off. And your body may actually result in wet dreams to mm-hmm. expel some of what yeah. it needs to get rid of.
Well, I mean, even then, I mean, I think you could also put into your head that if you fuck it up, you're just going to have to start the process over.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's going to be willpower. I'm sorry. I mean, that's the easiest thing I can think of. I would not recommend any kind of medications or anything like that. The side effects will be worse than just trying to bear with it, you know?
Yep.
So that, yeah, that's my only advice is just first couple weeks will be easy. After that, you just kind of got to bear with it.
Yep.
Last one to you, Sam.
All right. So this one is titled Sexual Guilt.
That is not as sexy a song as Sexual Healing.
No. First off, I'd like to keep this anonymous. A few of the cast might guess who's writing in, but please don't say it on air. On further note, since I'm sure this will come up, we do have a therapist we're working with. I'm just looking for any extra advice where I can, and since some of this involves things that are particularly furry, I figured this would be a good place to ask. I'm having a serious issue with my relationship with my mate, and I'm not sure what to do. I'll call her D for the purpose of this story, and I do have her permission to write in. D and I have been together for about 2 years, and we've known each other for almost three. D is the love of my life, and she has had a tough road and has only really started to heal in the last year or so. Relationship trouble, less than supportive parents, and a number of things that I'll get into have caused her to have a serious problem with self-worth that really brings her down, usually with little to no warning. Some of the happiest moments I've seen her in have had her sent her into hours-long panic attacks because she believed she wasn't allowed to be happy. Things have been getting better, but there's still a big outstanding problem that requires me to take a step back and add some context, both to D's story and mine. When I first fell for D, her whole life was in the process of falling apart. It came back together at the last minute, just enough to prevent I move back home to California, but the job that saved her also tried to destroy her a few months in, leading to a nasty breakdown due to utterly insane overtime hours, a rant for another time. She and I were living in separate cities, commuting back and forth to see each other on the weekends, and I was basically able to be there just enough to help keep her in one piece. As she recovered, things gradually shifted from dating to being quite a bit more serious, and eventually, a few months later, we ended up in bed together. It didn't happen often due to the distance and a few other factors, but somewhere around a year into the sexual part of a relationship, D had a major panic attack while I was visiting. I'm still not entirely clear on how it began, but it ended with her confessing to me that she had been the victim of a non-consensual sexual attack back in college, something I had not previously known. It has been many more months since then, with therapist visits, her own move to California's Bay Area, and a job that tried to destroy me thrown in. We've been more or less hands-off. I've been incredibly careful about giving proper space, though we have tried a few times at her instigation, with not that positive of results. She can touch me, but if I touch her and she gets excited, it's basically a guaranteed panic attack. Not allowed to be happy, and not allowed to feel sexual slash betrayed by my own body come roaring back in. We're doing what we can to get help for her issues, but it's causing a problem on my side, too. I'm a fairly sexual person, and I've had to find a way to push that aside while she can heal. The problem, though, is that between the failed attempts and the fact that she can't feel happy in her own body, I've started to feel a serious amount of guilt regarding my own sexuality. I know, consciously, that she isn't rejecting me in that way, but I don't know how to deal with it long term. I already have some shame issues regarding some of my kinks, and this sort of inflaming those all over again. She and I have talked about this a number of times, and she's encouraged me to work on my sexuality independent of her, RP, etc., but I'm having a difficult time of it. I'm a pretty empathic person, and knowing that she can't be happy in her body makes it really difficult for me to be happy in mine. To add a furry twist to this, D is my first serious relationship, and I'm coming in with my own significant baggage. I've never been with anyone else, aside from online RP, and basically spent my sexual awakening hating myself for liking things I shouldn't, and hiding it away in the deepest corners of the internet. I'm 28 now, and I still have a massive amount of shame bundled up regarding my kinks and my own identity. I'm a kinky trans girl who's into vore and all sorts of other odd things, and that meshes really poorly with my Catholic upbringing. I'm an atheist now, but that's not something that stops at the flick of a switch. Even with everything that's going on with my mate, it's really, really important that I don't shut down again. It took me years to get to the point of feeling sexually attracted to another person rather than just art and stories online, and I'm not quite sure what to do. I don't know exactly what I'm doing, but I could use asking. Any suggestions you have. I don't know exactly what I'm asking, but I could use any suggestions you have for maintaining and growing my own sexuality while she is healing. I do acknowledge that her sexual side may never return, and I'm not sure what to do with that either. Thanks, an anonymous dragon. Boy, howdy.
Yeah, that's a really tough one. I mean, you mentioned that she is in therapy, which is...
That's a step in the right direction.
Which is definitely a step in the right direction, and that is... Continuing that is ultimately going to help her out a lot. You may also consider therapy yourself, just as a way to discuss this with somebody impartial. Because, when we have those kinds of feelings, shame about your sexuality and stuff like that, most people do to a greater or lesser degree. I imagine for GLBT people, it's probably more, especially when you throw in the Catholic upbringing.
That guilt.
Yeah. You really need a way to get those thoughts out of your head, to get that out of your system and off your chest. So if you're not already seeing a therapist, I would definitely recommend it. And, they're supposed to be impartial and they're supposed to be completely private. So you should be able to discuss even the weird shit to an extent with a good therapist.
Yeah, and if you're in the Bay Area, I bet you can find yourself some people that are kink-friendly therapists. Kink-friendly,
trans-friendly.
Yeah.
You should be able to find somebody.
Because, that's a real fucking mess. And, I read this email, I'm like, I don't even know where to start.
Because, I mean...
This is one of those,
this isn't a venue where we can really help a larger problem like this. It's not a simple yes or no question, should I or shouldn't I?
This is a decades of issues.
Yeah, and this is something that you really need to work through, you're 28 and you've worked through a lot of this already, but sometimes this stuff is a lifelong thing.
Oh, yeah.
How often does something you did when you were 10 that was stupid pop into your head and you feel...
I hate that. I'm laying in bed and I'll be staring at the ceiling going, I really need to sleep. I have shit to do tomorrow. And then your brain goes, remember that dumb shit you did when you were 14?
Yeah.
You're just fuck.
And that's the minor little things, and that's a twinge. But to an even deeper degree with, Catholic upbringing.
Oh, well, sexual shame. The sexual shame part, I'm lucky. I had my phone. I think it's just I got more mail or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's wait a minute. My phone shouldn't be making noise. I'm lucky in that I didn't have a shame-based upbringing. Mm-hmm. I had baggage, but I was able to discard it. And, I'm lucky. I had fuckloads of that. The whole not liking the weird things, not being straight and having a religious upbringing, and all that guilt and shame and trying to figure out who the fuck I was. I was lucky that I was able to get back, but it took me a while to do so. I don't think, and it was a process too. I knew I was gay by 13, but I didn't get through this shit till I was 26.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a long time, but I had to go through hell and back to get there. And this is a process you need to start, and it may take a while.
Yeah.
But at least you kind of have,
made good progress.
You've made the progress.
And I think you're definitely doing right by your girl by,
giving her space.
Giving her space, letting her initiate, And I think that's going to be one of those trial and error things that you have to let that happen, that you should allow her to initiate and start something sexual with you if she wants to. If it ends at a panic attack, you have to be there for her. But eventually I believe that's not going to happen. Cause you don't want to spurn that either. I don't know if she's looked into medication or if that's appropriate or not, but I know, for panic attacks, Xanax is a very common thing, So that's something if she gets a prescription for, maybe a few hours before you plan to be intimate, if you can plan that kind of thing instead of a more spontaneous thing. It's definitely
something that you'll need to plan.
Yeah, and then, you know, it just lets the nerves back off so that maybe she either...
in the right headspace for it.
Yeah, and she'll either not have a panic attack, or if she does, it will be a much powerful one.
One would hope.
So that's a possibility that you may want to have her look into. Of course, just be careful. Xanax is apparently very addictive. I take it only when I absolutely need to. And you don't want to become super reliant on it. But it might be a good crutch short term to kind of get her to a better point in her life. And do you have anything else to add, Saverin?
I think you're on the right track. And what we've said about, you know, you're respecting your boundaries and, you know, like you said, you know, letting her initiate and, like, setting up times that, all right, if we're going to do something, let's plan.
Yeah.
And, if it gets her in the right headspace, cool. And if she decides in the intervening time that that's not going to happen, that lets you know in advance.
And, you know, I think you should go with her advice to keep your own sexuality active by RPing, you know, and whatever else you have permission to do. You know, that's the whole difference with the Ashley Madison thing that I was going to mention, is that the only reason that was a problem was that sleeping with somebody not your spouse without their permission.
Yeah.
That Ashley Madison would not exist in a world where people were not uptight about sex and actually had conversations with their partners. So I think you guys are in a good position where you're at least talking about this stuff and you have an outlet there and you can discuss that. So you're already ahead of, like, a lot of people in this country. And I think that's a good thing.
Yep. Okay.
I don't have anything else to add. No. Sorry. It sounds like legit professional help is definitely needed here.
And at least it seems like it's on cue, so.
Yep.
Good. Okay. Wow, this has been a marathon episode.
It has.
I'm looking at like 2 hours, 15 minutes or so. I don't know if this is going to be able to go up on Patreon in its current form.
Wow.
Because there's a 100 megabyte limit.
Jeez. I guess for the Patreon folks, you could split it into two files and
maybe
then put, you know, put the I'll regular one on out. iTunes.
So this has been a very long episode. If you made it to the end, congratulations. Give yourself a high five, but don't do it while driving.
Right, yeah.
We won't
have an episode next week because if you're local to the Dallas area or you want to come up here, next weekend we're having Furry Siesta at the old Fiesta Hotel, which is the Crown Plaza. It's like
2-day fur meet with some activities planned.
It starts Friday at, I think, 5 or 6 o'clock, then runs through Saturday evening. And then there will, of course, be people staying the night Saturday, and there will be room parties and stuff like that.
It's going to be a cool, low-key event. She was helming that, and so that's why she's not here. She has some last-second crunch time stuff to do.
Yep.
I will be at San Japan in San Antonio, Texas, for con business.
Not actually Japan.
Yeah, not actually Japan, just San Antonio. there will not be an episode next week, but this gives you plenty of time to listen to this episode, write in, and tell us how we're terrible people or how you agree with us. Or whatever, you know?
Or whatever old cartoons from the 90s with animal people that we forgot about.
Yeah, because this has been a very wide-ranging episode.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for listening. You can find us
on Twitter at Notcast, on Tumblr at notcast.tumblr.com. You can send us anonymous questions. You can email us at notcast@foxdeffers.com. We have a Patreon, Notcast.
We have an FA, Notcast. We have a Twitter, Notcast. Yes. You might have already said that, but oh well.
Drop us a line. We like hearing feedback. And if you really like what you hear, Patreon's great. It's helping us replace shit. Actually, by the time you hear this next episode, we'll have a new
microphone preamp.
Preamp and headphone interface with some new headphones, even. All thanks to y'all.
This episode was recorded on brand new XLR cables.
Yeah. But still a slightly scratchy and old interface. But that's okay.
Right.
We didn't go robot much at all.
Oh, dear. Okay.
It only happened like twice, and it was very short.
All right.
On that note,
good night.
And big balls.